It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo! South America! Australia! France! Germany!
UK!
America!
Here we go! Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, it is happening, or it is beginning to happen. Nitwit Nero hasn't conceded. Nitwit Nero will never concede. But there are elements of government awakening and slowly moving, like stop-motion photography, time-lapse photography, of ice melting in spring and tiny shoots of grass coming up through the soil. Here in Appalachia, that would be ramps. So we'll get to all of that. This is The Horn. It is the 6th day of November, 2020. And we've already got a group gathered together in the Horn chat room. You might enjoy it yourself if you'd care to pop on by. Pick out a screen name and a password if you never have before there at headon.live/chatroom. And upon your arrival, you will be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Kid Mark and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chatroom moderator Sparky, who, being a Third Stage Guild Navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. More will follow eventually. Hi, I'm Bob. It has been a long and wearying, worrisome week. And at times, I don't know why these sorts of things happen in my head, but at times I've been thinking about it's not really a parody, but a takeoff on that great tune, You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive, and You'll Never Leave 2020 Alive. Oh, go away, 2020, go away. You know, that it's heartening. There are 55 days left in 2020, and 75 days left in the presidency, if things work out as expected, of Donald J. Trump. And we got a lot of ground to cover this evening. And here in about 55 minutes or so, we will get together in the extraordinary in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we gather around the extraordinary ordinary round table for Friday on the Front Porch, capably moderated by Sparky. Kill the drums, says Sparky. It's a drum loop. But if you'd care to participate, jump on in, just the same as if you'd care to participate in the chat room. Sailor Chick just popped in. Hey, Sailor Chick. Where to begin? Well, if you look at the AP map, you'll see this. you'll see Georgia and Pennsylvania and Nevada all light blue. Those three states account for 42 electoral votes. Joe Biden stands at 264, assuming we count up Arizona. 264 and 42 is 302. And Donald Trump has 214. There's not a lot of reason to suspect that anything is going to change those numbers. I was thinking earlier today, and it occurred to me. Well, okay, let me back up and ground this. I have a longstanding beef with the term, and I don't know who coined it, or who put it into usage. But it's a bad term. It doesn't even reflect reality. And I was struck by it again this morning as I was watching my Filthy Morning Habit. And I heard someone say, "Our democracy." Oi gewalt. It sounds like somebody's talking about 5th century B.C. Athens, B.C.E. Ugh. Oh, wait, this program, like every other program, begins with gratitude. So, I was about to screw up big time. Thanks go out to Timothy and to John. And to Charlene in Rogues Island, and to Kim and Malin in New Jersey, and to Michael in Madison, to Kitty in Boston. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. That having been said, the fundraising goal for this evening is $600. The good news out of that is that Yuki has kindly offered a $150 matching challenge to help reach that goal. So if $150 is met, that'll mean that we've only got $300 to go to finish the week. Okay? And thank you very kindly to Jeremy. Jeremy's note, he's pretty much done. Bye, Donnie. Hope the door hits you and the good Lord splits you. I could not agree with that more. So there's 140 to go. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. I just didn't want to get ahead of myself. Now, if you want to help out, run over to headon.live. The PayPal interface is right there on the main page. Our buddy Zed has a new challenge out for November. Up to $50, up to five new $10 a month subscribers will get their first month subscriptions doubled, courtesy of Zed. Five new subscribers. If you subscribe at 10, Zed turns it into 20 for the first month. Up to $50. That's huge. Thank you, Zed. And that's for the whole month of November. Okay, back to what... So, I forget who said my democracy, our democracy, it didn't matter. It's just a sort of a vague and smarmy bullshit phrase. What? He said our democracy is bullshit? Well, I said the phrase is. Because the only extent to which this is a democracy is like, it's like what James Madison said in the Federalist Papers. Yeah, whatever we come up with, we'll tell them it's a democracy. Which is exactly what happened at the Constitutional Convention. And I'll add to this what I always say. Democracy in the United States of America is very definitely far more aspirational than operational. In 1787, they called it democracy, but way more than half the country couldn't cast a vote in the in our democracy. Ha! Yeah. And it just got under my skin all over again. I prefer, and you know, it's actually, you could say that it is the proper term of reference in the country, in the United States of America. After all, the idea that every year the President of the United States must deliver a State of the Union statement to the Congress means that, in fact, the proper reference to our country, I know I'm being nerdy, just bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this. The proper reference to our country is not our country or, God knows, our democracy. Our republic is an appropriate reference. But the real term, the real sort of generic term for the United States of America is the Union. The Union. And so, ladies and gentlemen of Congress, the state of our union is strong. See? And lo and behold, like unto something 155 years ago, it appears that Georgia will be returned to the bosom of the Union. And this time, we the people didn't even have to send in General Sherman to burn Atlanta. Yay, us! Yeah, it just dawned on me earlier today. The Union. And I think it would do better. We would do better as a country if we called it the Union. It might get the, it might, of course, annoy the people in the Confederacy. North Carolina is still pink-ish. But that's okay. We will be a union again. And that's beautiful. And in many instances, the fact of the matter is, in Georgia, the people who are returning Georgia to the Union are people whose ancestors paid with generations of lives lived so that their progeny could do exactly what they're doing today. And I find that extremely, extremely inspiring. So the next time you feel compelled, stop telling us how to refer to the country, Bob. The next time you're talking with someone about the United States, try this on for size just to see how they respond. Instead of saying us or our country or God knows our democracy, why not use the phrase our union and see what kind of a look you get? Because that's what we are. The United States implies a union of states. Sorry, this may be a little bit civics-y for a Friday, but I just felt like I had to share that. Because we might have a little bit more success understanding each other sometimes by just the merest change in the language. It's kind of like when someone who speaks British English is talking to someone who speaks American English, and they say, "Well, you know, but
My Amazon package was dropped off today by a fellow in a lorry.
And the American responds, what?
Oh, yes, yes, you Yanks call it a truck.
Oh, yeah, the truck,
It's like that.
And that's true, too. Speaking of the Athenian democracy, the Helots couldn't cast votes either. Or am I thinking of Sparta, not Athens? That's right, the Helots were in Sparta. Not only could they not vote, they were prone to being taken out of their houses in the middle of the night by little Spartan boys and beaten to death. Or so legend has it. But women couldn't vote in Athens either. And slaves couldn't vote. Now, in ancient Athens, slaves does not denote an ethnicity. It's just people who had been, say, captured in warfare, and it was deemed that you lose the war, well, the army comes in and rounds up all your women and children and all the people that the soldiers didn't kill, and you get sent to an auction block, and you're auctioned off into slavery for the rest of your life. But by the way, even the slavery of the ancient world wasn't chattel slavery. Full-grown slaves didn't give birth to little slave children. That is a twist that the United States, the Southern states, for the most part, added to the concept of slavery. For instance, the 12 children of Israel. You know, his name was Jacob until he had to take it on the lamb, and then changed his name. Two of them, I think, two of the boys, were sons of Israel by a slave. Her name was Bilhah. Sorry, I'm forgetting my Sunday school a little bit, but I think I'm there. And guess what? They weren't born into slavery. But never mind, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jude in the Great Northwest says, I love that, Bob. Yes, we are a union. It captures a commitment to and with each other. Well done. Well, thank you, Jude. Thank you very kindly. Billable Rick says, our union. But, Bob, if we referred to the USA as the union, we'd be offending all of those snowflake union busters and subverting the right to work for peanuts of all of those Southerners who work for less than 15 bucks an hour. Less than 15. Oh, billable. Oops, I'm going to get a letter from Ron and Raleigh's lawyers. Oh, billable. Work for less than $15 an hour in the South. Ha! Work for less than $9 an hour. But Florida did pass a $15 an hour minimum wage. How's about that? And frankly, at this point in time, I'm all for offending them. Counting out the remaining days of Nitwit Nero's presidency, Kyle says, ugh, it's going to be 75 days for him to burn down everything. Buckle up, everybody. God damn it, Bob, you anti-American liberal Marxist commie fascist. We're a constitutional republic, not a democracy. It's in the Constitution. And Jimmy out in the Great Northwest says, here in the Evergreen State, Governor Inslee's opponent, Sheriff, what's his name, won't admit he lost, with the governor winning 60% of the vote. How'd he get on the ballot? Oh, yeah, a Republican. The sheriff, what's his name, had a department smaller than Andy Taylor's. I didn't know that Mayberry was in Washington State. Nor I. But, well, that's a freak of a different technicolor. Randy in PA reminds us the military vote hasn't yet been counted. And we had a statement from the West Virginia Republican Party, headed by West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice,
The West Virginia Republican Party would like to make it crystal clear that we are in support of President Donald J. Trump. We refuse to accept the outcome of this fraudulent election involving several of the key swing states until all legal votes are counted and all illegal votes are removed from the vote counts. In no way, shape, form, or fashion does the West Virginia Republican Party wish to be understood as thinking that any goddamn Democrat anywhere in the United States of America, God bless America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now today in the universe, forever under God, cast a legal vote. So once all the Democrat, Democrat votes is removed, we will have a fair and unfraudulent election. The following issues must be resolved. Ever documented case of backdating of ballots.
Hasn't happened.
Illegal denial of access by poll watchers.
You know, that was particularly funny in court when the judge made the lawyer who was an oath sworn servant of the bar, a judicial officer. It made Trump's lawyers say, well, how many observers are there watching the count? How many Republicans? A lot, Your Honor. So they are observing the election. Well, Your Honor, yeah, but I mean, Judge, you don't know what it's like to have to work for Donald Trump.
And until dead and out-of-state citizens voting is investigated in several of the key swing states, but not in West Virginia. This massive voter fraud is invalidating the legal votes of many patriotic new 90 state citizens in several swing states who didn't vote for that commie fascist liberal progressive pinko Joe Biden, but did vote for Donald Trump because they love America, and we will not stand for it. When we have a fair and certifiable vote count,
and by certifiable they mean that a vote count that can be noted as being entirely insane,
we will be happy to support the legitimate winner who is going to be Donald Trump. We are nowhere near that point today.
Oh, for pity's sakes. But, you know, that's to be expected. These are statements of allegiance and obeisance. No, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice. I didn't say statements of obesity. Now shut the up. But there was a beautiful moment pointed out by my old colleague Mark Levine. Dave number 11 wrote earlier saying, when I read on Mark Levine's Facebook page that fighter jets cleared the skies over Joe's home, it hit me. I went to the kitchen to tell Marilyn. She was on the phone with her sister and had been detailing to her how the night's vote count had proceeded. I interrupted her to tell her what I read. Marilyn took on a look of anguish. My wife said, what did they do to him? No, said I. The president's house is a no-fly zone. I started to cry. She started to cry. She turned on the speakerphone. Tell Katie. I gasped it out. I can't speak. So Marilyn somehow told Katie. Katie said, oh, Lenny, I got goosebumps. I'm shaking too much to hold the phone. I gotta go. And so I imagine, did it go around the country for people yearning for something resembling normalcy to return to this country? To our union. See how we do it? To the union. That's how we referred to the country for a long time until the word union became unfashionable. And that's what I meant earlier when I said it's like those time-lapse films of little shoots of grass coming through the frozen earth and ice melting in streams and the water beginning to trickle as spring arrives. As Chance the Gardener once said, in the spring there can be growth. And, you know, as noted, faith without works is dead, and what we are seeing is the manifestation of tremendous amount of works bearing faithful fruit. That gave me chills when I read it, Dave. Thank you very kindly for sending it. Suman says, subject line, Jim Justice. Damn, Bob, I logged in late, and for a minute I thought you got Jim Justice as a guest on your show. That was a fantastic voice impersonation. That or Mr. Haney. Or as some say, let's not have this discussion again tonight, Don Knotts. Right. Thanks, Suman. And so, Kyle also adds, can we just take a minute and give thanks to a true American patriot, Stacey Adams, who, after having the Georgia governorship stolen from her, helped get enough people registered and turned out to vote in a voter suppression haven, so to speak, to seal the presidency for Joe Biden and get two runoffs in the Senate there? And also, and Megan pointed this out as well, John Lewis's county being the one that officially gave the final lead to Biden in the counting of the state that put him over the top. I mean, I'm crying again as I'm typing this, especially after what the piece of shit who still currently squats in the White House said about him. And now our work really begins to start picking up the mess. Well, I wouldn't pick anything up just right now because it's going to have to be thoroughly fumigated and decontaminated after January the 20th. Because, again, it's those 75 days between now and January 20 that are going to be more than a little bit interesting. And this, Bob, it's that time. We left off yesterday with the supermodel Miss Vicky. And are we, I just want to know, Joey, are we talking about the Miss Vicky who married Tiny Tim? Is that the Miss Vicky we're talking about? I'm just trying to get a little clarity here. I had a couple of questions. Proudly pointing out her mother, of whom I took a picture, Vicky, Jeffrey, and me. Jeffrey started to cry as he was so touched that a 23-year-old... No, okay, that's a different supermodel then, because no way Miss Vicky, who married Tiny Tim on live TV in the 1960s, would be 23 years old. No. Unless she's got a really, really old portrait in a closet somewhere. And travel... and would call her mother her best friend and travel with her through the Commonwealth of William Penn's paradise, Penn's Woods, Penn's Forest, Pennsylvania. You see, Jeffrey's mother abandoned him as a very young giraffe, and he never really knew his mama. So being the very political animal that Giraffrey is, he posed a question to Miss Vicky as he wanted to gauge her potential political point prowess. Jeffrey wanted me to ask her a question. You're a viable adult and can obviously subsist on your own at this point in your life, but heaven forbid, you probably could not imagine life without your mom. Good point, Jeffrey. And then I continued, can you imagine those poor children, some of them toddlers and infants at the border, being separated from their parents? Jeffrey and I were just very curious about how she would respond to that question. She looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she just didn't quite know how to respond. And Jeffrey and I diffused the difficult situation quickly by thanking her for the picture and wishing her luck. Jeffrey and I are always looking for a lead-in to discuss politics with people, and besides that, I was real riled up as we entered the little town because the first thing we saw was a large bus with Trump banners draped all over it. And then to run into a beauty queen who was so ironic considering how Trump barged into dressing rooms of underage pageant contestants in various stages of undress. So I was in a feisty mood. Jeffrey and I left town and the snow began to fall. Dear God. That filthy four-letter word. So we decided to head north to eventually go south as we wanted to pick up Interstate 80 where we would hop the highway. What do you know, dressed in my Alaska hoodie, we drove up to none other than Alaska, PA, and stopped at a McDonald's to get a sugar-free iced tea so we could safely make the hour-and-a-half ride back to Pittsburgh. We decided to Google Miss Vicky, and of all places in PA, she happened to be from Irwin, just outside of Pittsburgh. this immediately reminded me of my wonderful Carrie Weber, also from Irwin, PA. Carrie was a hell of a guy. I met him at Three Rivers Stadium back in 1983 as he had the Pittsburgh Pirates season tickets since the 70s when the We Are Family Pirates beat the Reds in 79 to go on and win the World Series. Carrie was a junior high school principal who often brought underprivileged kids to games. He gave me his phone number, and all I had to do was call him when I was coming to town, and there would be a box seat waiting for me. This went on until Easter of 1990 when I met with Carrie at a game against the Cubs, and he just wasn't himself. That summer, I called his home a couple of times and never received an answer or a return phone call. Obviously, something was wrong. But I did not know what was until 3 years later, a gentleman from Irwin, PA, called my parents' bed and breakfast and inquired about staying at the B&B because he wanted to visit the Pro Football Hall of Fame and see Lynn Swann and Chuck Knoll be inducted that summer. I inquired if he happened to know my friend Carrie, and sadly the man did, as he informed me Carrie had died of a rare illness. At that moment, it was all too much. Just about an hour ago, watching Miss Vicky and the relationship she had with her mother, thinking about all those children cruelly being separated from their parents on the border, and now, exactly 30 years later, I meet somebody from Irwin who reminded me of many fun times at Three Rivers with Carrie. I just completely lost it and started bawling like a baby. However, speaking of rare illnesses, turns out Miss Vicky has a website, and she explains that she has two rare illnesses from childhood that to this day require a nurse to come by her home and give her treatments while she's bedridden for several hours. She was approximately 14 years old when they discovered the maladies. Ironically, Joey was 14 years old when his parents took him to several doctors before ending up at the Cleveland Clinic, where they discovered Joey had a rare form of muscular dystrophy. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says, yes, Joey's parents took him to the doctor as a teenager, and to this day continue to take him to the doctor to try to figure out why the hell he runs around with a stupid giraffe! Then we read something about Miss Vicky that made Jeffrey bawl like a baby giraffe. Miss Vicky identifies with being a Republican. Jeffrey said, I no longer wish to go home with her. Yes, Jeffrey, that was hard to believe. I remember all the trips to the doctor, my mother fighting with insurance companies to pay doctor's bills, and how badly that made me feel. I was not viable at that point in my life, but I do remember those days very well, and my great-grandmother telling me this kind of nonsense would not go on in Canada or England. Well, as it turns out, the woman I met is none other than Vicky Pycutt. And this Monday night in Memphis, the Polish princess will be competing in the Miss USA pageant on the FYI network. Yes, she will be walking the runway in Memphis with those high heels she likes to wear. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says, she will be walking in Memphis, and with those heels, she will be 10 feet off the beels. Oh, dear God. Thanks, Giraffe, and Cleveland's own Mark Cohn for that song reference. However, here's the kicker. As she is making her way home from Memphis with Mama on the 10th of November, the Supreme Court will be convening and deciding whether to strike down the Affordable Care Act, formerly known as the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And if they do, in about a year and a half, our good Republican friend will have to pay out of pocket for her treatments, because she will be 26 in about 15 months. This will be expensive, if she can get coverage at all, because she will have a bunch of pre-existing conditions. Giraffe says, after all she's been through, why would this woman identify as a Republican? Jeffrey and I have been to both shops, the one in Greensburg and Irwin, and my wife loves the line of clothes that the White Elephant offers. As I told Miss Vicky, I would like the line of clothes a lot more if they were made in America and not the Far East. Miss Vicky claims success, but I informed her real success would be if she had a line made here in the States. I also informed her that she did not do this all by herself. Her parents helped her, and her parents did not do this all by themselves, as they had civic organizations assist them, not to mention both buildings were already there with running water and electricity. Yes, you could say the buildings were viable, and you could say there was some socialism involved. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says, the prices are so good at the White Elephant that when you wear a mask, you'll feel like you're robbing the place. So this has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 6th day of November, 2020, reminding Bob that he really has to do a better job of keeping up with pop culture so he can know that people like Miss Vicky are and not think that they're nonagenarian former stars who got married on Laugh-In or the Ed Sullivan Show or what the hell ever in the late 1960s to Tiny Tim, with Giraffe working on his viability. And so this Friday on the front porch, there is a $100 viability challenge also on the table. So that means there's $250 worth of challenges on the table, which if met, will get us within $100 of finishing the week to the good. Hopefully people will jump in on that so that we're not in a big old hole come more in Monday. Thank you for that, Joey, and thank you for that, Giraffe. That's a heck of a story. I love good storytelling. And so that turns us to the question of, and I sort of, I did, Billable Rick. Cowbell for Joey's poignant journal today, and he only needed to use two puns. That's for the two puns. Kind of a relief cowbell. So that sort of turns my attention to what I was going to focus on earlier as well. Once I got past the whole Our Union thing, I'm sorry. I'm one of the dinosaurs in this country who was actually taught civics, and I'm not talking about going to law school or anything. That's, you know, having a cup of coffee in law school is the ultimate civics class in many ways. It's civics on steroids. Now, I'm talking about what we had when I was a kid as ninth grade civics. Now, according to Ben Sasse, that new and different kind of Republican from out Nebraska way, they have it in eighth grade out there. But I kind of still doubt they have it at all. And by the way, Ben Sasse went out on a bit of a limb and said, we need to keep counting the votes. Well, thanks for that, Patrick Kenhenry. But that's a big thing for a Republican to say these days. Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania said the same thing. I guess he was taken a little bit aback by the notion that a state with a Republican legislature and one Republican senator and Republicans all over the goddamn place would somehow rig the election against COVID Caligula. But it has begun. The Independent reporting, thanks David in South Carolina, Stan. Evacuations are underway after bomb threats near a vote counting center in Philly. Security officials received two calls from the same individual on Friday. The bomb threats were called into an area close to the convention center where ballot counting is taking place. I know that place well now. Philadelphia police said that security in the Fashion District Mall received two calls from the same individual saying that a bomb was going to go off. The mall borders the convention center, and it was evacuated. Trains in the area were also halted. Canine units were sweeping the shopping center and said shortly before 3 p.m. that no device had been planted. And on Thursday evening, police confirmed they were investigating an alleged plot to attack the center where the election ballots are being counted. A tip came in that an individual or a group was traveling to the city from Virginia in a Hummer with the intention of attacking the election location. In that instance, a man was taken into custody and a weapon recovered. It is unclear whether the two incidents are connected. Well, what's more interesting is, I wonder who would want to stop the vote count. Now, the Independent noting, if Mr. Trump loses Pennsylvania, there is no path back to the White House for him. No, there's not. And this is the product, this is the result of the vile rhetoric that is being spewed across the country
by the maggots. Bomb threat, says Stephen Newark, New York. Yeah, 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 Bob. Both sides do it. Yeah, no, 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 they don't. No, they don't. Steve says it's much simpler than that. You're a nerd, Bob. Well, yeah, okay. I've had a swirly or two. Mm-hmm. But so we've got that in Philadelphia. And then, of course, we've also got a guy named Steve Bannon, who looks like he smells like hot dogs. Remember, that's the way they used to describe Michael Moore, so I figure we shouldn't let a good simile like that go to waste. Steve Bannon has himself a podcast. It's called The War Room. And I guess he's kind of worked up, even though Nitwit Nero doesn't have much to say about him at all anymore, and said some pretty nasty things about him, and now just says Steve Bannon
never knew the guy.
Fortune favors boldness. Be Donald Trump. Be bold. Have Ray and have Fauci over today for a Diet Coke and an exit interview.
Well, okay. By Ray, he doesn't mean Ray of Bob and Ray or anything. No. He means Ray, W-R-A-Y, Christopher Ray, the FBI director that he, Nitwit Nero, appointed. And by Fauci, of course, we know he means Anthony Fauci. Just so we're clear on that. Yeah.
Let's have an exit interview. Hey, Fauci, you know, since we're cleaning out your desk now over at NIH, just give me your pearls of wisdom, right? I don't need to see him on CNN or MSNBC. Why don't you just give him to me, right? The guy you work for. Okay? And I thought it was a little out of ordinary that a government employee would jump to a, I think it's a Hatch Act thing, you know, what they're jumping on, you know, Kellyanne Conway and Ivanka every time they move around. Got the Hatch Act. Hey.
Yeah, that's because Kellyanne Conjob is doing politics stuff, whereas Anthony Fauci is merely trying to talk about the progress of the Dondemic, which is, or shouldn't be, political. And Christopher Wray, well, he's just doing some sort of a job trying to keep his head down as director of the FBI.
I'm calling it. You're gone. But give me, you know, tell me about, is it mask or no mask? In fact, I'd have somebody recording, ask him 20 questions, and let's get it on paper what he actually says. So when he worms away later. In fact, I would videotape it. Let's videotape it.
Invite the press so
invite
that they
the
can
press.
Sit there
Even
in the
better.
Oval Office,
Dude,
listen to the questions, listen to them, answer them incorrectly, and then fire them on national TV.
Jack Maxey, the dude, I love you. I'm going to hug you. That is it. I want to bring in the whole press. Bring in all those vipers. Bring in the information warfare. They're like the front line. They're like the guys in the trenches in World War One. Okay? Bring those guys in. Bring those guys in on live national TV. In fact, we'll supply you with the 20 questions. It's 20 questions with Tony. Tony the Fauci. And then, of course, at the end, the great apprentice, you're fired. Right?
Just as a reminder, this isn't just Steve Bannon, formerly the campaign manager of the Donald Trump for President 2016 campaign. This isn't just Steve Bannon, the special advisor to the president in the early years of the Trump maladministration. This is Steve Bannon, indicted felon, who is out on bond. That will become, it will become obvious why that is important here in a moment.
Ray's the same thing. All right, I love that. I love that. That's the genius. We're going to do that. That's this afternoon. That's the second term. Second term kicks off with firing Ray, firing Fauci. Now, I actually want to go a step farther, but I realize the president is a kind-hearted man and a good man. I'd actually like to go back to the old times of Tudor England. I'd put the heads on pikes, right? I'd put them at the two corners of the White House as a warning. to federal bureaucrats. You either get with the program or you're gone. Time to stop playing games. Blow it all out. Put Rick Grenell today as the interim head of the FBI. That'll light him up, right?
You know what, Steve? Just yesterday, there was the anniversary of the hanging of two Tories in Philadelphia. These were Quaker businessmen who had cohabitated, if you will, with the British while they were occupying Philadelphia.
Cohabitated? Wait, they were gay Quaker Tories? What's this blithering idiot trying to babble about? Now, as an aside, understand, there was a lot of nasty shit that went on in the aftermath of the American Revolution, and it went on in Philadelphia. In fact, I've talked about this, because we don't talk about it in our history. There's a whole lot of canoodlians who can trace their family history back to a time when they had heretofore been happy little colonists in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, situated in Penn's Woods, and they had to do the feet don't fail me now thing, because angry mobs of vicious Americans were killing them extrajudicially, otherwise known as murdering them, and there was a purge in the new United States. That's how our history began as a country, long before the Constitution. This is right after the close of the Revolution and during it. It's an ugly piece of history. Some of Agnes's ancestors, you know, not direct, but, you know, like way back cousins of, and it took it north. I think one went back to Scotland or Ireland or somewhere. She'd have to be in here to tell us. But some of them went to Canada so as to avoid being murdered by the peace-loving, civilized citizens of the new country. I mean, their shit was destroyed, thrown out on the street, homes burned. Really. So that's what these clowns are alluding to.
These people were hung. This is what we used to do to traitors.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the two guys who were cohabiting with the British were hung. But the rest of them were hanged. You fucking illiterate goddamn bunch of... Never mind. Hanged!
That's how you won the revolution. Nobody wants to talk about it. Revolution wasn't some sort of garden party, right?
So, here you've got a guy out on bond calling for acts of homicidal violence against the director of the FBI and a senior official of the National Institutes of Health and the Department of Infectious Diseases. And the question is there a U.S. attorney somewhere who's willing to march into court and say, Your Honor, it's pretty obvious that Steve Bannon cannot be trusted to be on at his own liberty because he's already had the rules of probation explained to him, and he's out there calling for people to be murdered. And you just heard the recording. He said, you know, if it was me, I'd have a, so he'd like, he stated, it's not that he's saying that he wants Donald Trump to do this. He said, I would, meaning action he would be willing to take, meaning for all intents and purposes, a murderous threat against Christopher Wray and Dr. Anthony Fauci. But then again, it may be a case, I fully expect it's a case, of IOKI, Y-A-R. Come on, Bob, says Jeremy. We already know Agnes is a Viking warrior princess. We're pretty sure when she's called up, heads will roll. Now quit that. We're trying to not be Steve Bannon here, Jeremy. Give me a little help. I would not like to see Steve Bannon try to cross Agnes. As for smelling like hot dogs, Zach Galifianakis said this describing himself, short, fat, and smells like Doritos. That too, but I can't remember who said Michael Moore looks like he smells like hot dogs. Oh, and while you're at it, says James in Illinois, set every fucking oil well on fire before we head out to Russia for a state visit.
Don't forget my go crates.
Mm-hmm. So we got that. And then we also have the Cajun John Wayne, Clay Higgins. A member of the House of Representatives from Louisiana Stan. There, help me here. Is this campaign activity? Or are they just trying to make their maggot constituents understand that they really, 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 really are devoted to Donald Trump? There are no illegal votes. There's not. I mean, we sat here on the program last night and heard Nitwit Nero drugged to the gills on downers in this case, stand at a podium and illegally politic from the White House press room and utter a wild tirade of bizarre claims, not an iota of which was provable, and most of which have been laughed out of court. I think it's in Nevada where they took the lawsuit that got bounced out of state court and immediately put it in front of a federal judge there. And the first thing I thought was, I wonder if this federal judge is a maggot. Because remember, in four years' time, they have done unimaginable damage to the federal judiciary. And whereas the state court judge in Nevada bounced it out like the ridiculous piece of crap that it was, you can't count on a maggot judge to do the same, because that's precisely why they were put there, to be maggot judges in the first place. Thank you. I didn't know there was a name for them. Randy Radar says, it's the beer belly bullies, Bob. Son of a gun. They've organized. How's about that? Megan points out, Steve Bannon, the guy who helped Alabama get a Democratic senator? Well, yes. If he's so gung-ho about ancient ways, should we go back to the Revolutionary War treatment of British soldiers and those who helped them with tar and feathering? Should we do this to COVID Caligula and his enablers? No, we should not, because that's not legal. Once he refuses to leave the White House, fuck, these assholes are stupid. Well, they are. That's why they're maggots. Oh, yay. So, this is also the same Steve Bannon who got bounced out of Italy for trying to set up a fascist training center at a monastery there. Yeah, that's Steve Bannon. But anyway, Clay Higgins. Now, before we go any further into the story about Clay Higgins, let's understand who Clay Cajun John Wayne Higgins is. Well, as Black Lives Matter unfolded as a movement, Clay Higgins kind of stayed close to the ground. And there's a reason. It was 2007 when Clay Higgins beat Andre Red Richard while he was handcuffed face down on the ground. Beat the stuffing out of him. And then Congressman Clay Higgins lied about it, accused Andre Red Richard of battery, and then quit as a member of law enforcement before he could be investigated any further or be fired. Yeah. Speaking for the Louisiana Democratic Party, Executive Director Stephen Handwerk said there's a clear trend of past assault and violence from Clay Higgins. Higgins quit the department before he was held accountable for his assault, but this November, what we're talking about right now, the people of Louisiana will hold him accountable for his failure to lead our state. He wasn't fit to serve his community as an officer, and he isn't fit to serve Louisiana as a congressman. That didn't work out quite as well as we had hoped it would. Now we learn that the congressman has continued using our taxpayer dollars to employ his questionable friends, this time John Choten, who we know was part of the cover-up in Higgins' assault of Mr. Richard. Surely someone who participated in the cover-up of this magnitude should not be on the federal government payroll. We join Rob Anderson's call for his resignation or termination and a full investigation as to how he was hired in the first place. Well, he was hired because Clay Higgins is the Cajun John Wayne, if by Cajun John Wayne we mean a John Wayne who would take the law in his own hands and thoroughly violate that law if it suited him and the circumstances. Sort of like, I guess, a Cajun Rooster Cogburn. And then, of course, it was not too long after that that Facebook pulled two of representing Clay Higgins' posts because he was inciting violence by suggesting that armed protesters should be killed. Not armed right way, not armed right wing protesters, mind you. Just armed left wing protesters. And he uses particular language. One-way ticket, fellas. Have your affairs in order. Me? I wouldn't even spill my beer. I'd drop any 10 of you where you stand. And he published that on Facebook. And in 2016, he was putting out violent videos in support of a Crime Stoppers program. That was the same year he was elected to Congress, because that shit plays in Louisiana, Stan. And he said what he said about killing protesters in the wake of the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Yeah. Man, we don't want to see your worthless ass, nor do we want to make your mothers cry. You're the ones threatening if you show yourselves aggressively natured and armed in my presence. That is where your journey will end. Fast. How fast? 1,450 feet per second fast. That's the muzzle velocity of a certain sort of bullet. Probably a 9mm round. And so, here we are today, and behold, Clay Higgins on the election. Because Clay Higgins, well, he's a statesman.
Listen to me, America. Donald J. Trump, President Trump, has been an anointed blessing to our nation. I realize I'm compassionate about feeling the heart of many Americans that disagree, but listen to what I'm telling you. This is a man that did not have to do what he has done. He did not have to serve as our president, commander-in-chief. He's living the life of a billionaire. Would you have done it? I think not. Our nation, right now, and I have inside data, this election is compromised. Our president is not compromised. I stand with him. Whether anybody likes it or not, I'm telling you right now, is it many Americans? Listen, we don't want to fight. We do not want a fight. We love our brothers and sisters. Disagree though we may, including serious disagreement. None of us want to fight, man.
Yeah, serious. None of us want to fight, man. See, he's getting his inner Confederate on here. Just like we didn't want to fight in 1860. But them Yankees made us fight by staying right there in that United States Army fort right there in Charleston Harbor. And we had to send a feller from Louisiana to teach a bunch of little pimply-faced pipsqueak cadets from the Citadel to fire cannons at them there. Them Yankees, what made us start the war by being right there in their very own federal fort that we didn't have any business in. We didn't want to fight. They made us. Yeah.
However, I have to tell you that this election, our president won this election.
No, he didn't.
Feel my spirit.
He won in Louisiana.
I'm telling you, our president won this election. And if any...
What's that? Feel my spirit? Clay... I wouldn't feel anything on you if I was handsomely paid so to do. Just ick.
Any American would stand by and allow the total dissolution of our republic, then you're not an American.
Yeah, the dissolution of the republic is what's been going on for the last 4 years. You'll notice he didn't say our democracy.
Man, you think I liked it when the socialist Obama won in 2008, 2012? No.
Well, at least all he called him was a socialist. That's a win, I guess.
That election. This thing here. And since 2016, the Democrats used to love President Trump. They loved him when he was writing them checks, when he was the billionaire, and he was showing up in movies, cameo appearance here, cameo appearance there. Oh, at this party, that party. Your party wasn't complete, you Hollywood, unless Trump supported it or showed up. Our president has been under incredible fire and
No, he hadn't. If he'd been under incredible fire, he would have complained and gotten a doctor to write him a note to get away from it and blame it on bone spurs.
They're strong. And this election? Man. We have serious issues now. We're going to use Article 3. We're going to follow, of course, peaceful resolution. But America, understand that there's There are many, many red-blooded, solid patriots.
In the South. Just in the South and in the Midwest. And I guess in, like, Idaho and Alaska. Ohio and Tallahassee. West Virginia.
That stand with President Trump. And whether any of my Republican friends or Democratic colleagues like it or not, I stand with them. All the way.
Yeah, all the way. All the way. Yeah, wait a minute. Is there a little bit more? Yeah. Stop talking it. Start bringing it. My address is public data. Have your affairs in order. Higgins out. Oh, that's how he responded to somebody who said, you going to cry, T. Clay? Have your affairs in order. That appeared, I guess he heard that in a movie somewhere, because apparently he uses that a lot. Because that's what he said earlier this year. Have your affairs in order. And no, it appears that Donald Trump did not win the election, because counting ballots that arrived in the mail that were properly executed, that ain't illegal, T. Clay. No, not at all. And then... yeah, one last thing, and then we'll go to the old holler tree. Let's check in on the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Trump supporter front. And by the way, it was Alexander Bartram who was pro-British and was driven out of Philly into Nova Scotia. Agnes is a direct descendant of his. They left Jane Bartram, and she struggled to survive in the new country. Because the British Army occupied Philly for 9 months, and they weren't exactly nice either. A self-proclaimed patriot, Jane Bartram had remained in Philadelphia when Alexander left. When she sought Anzi's aid in 1787, she'd been struggling for 9 years to disentangle her fortunes from those of her absent spouse. She appeared in the office of John Anzi, a fact finder for the Royal Commission on American Loyalists. And she wanted to provide the commission with a document that represented a critical turning point in the struggle. And a report was generated, and it's quite fascinating. It is an underreported time in American history, probably because it's not particularly... it doesn't speak well of us. Arthur says, Trump served as our president. Poor little Trump. Some say he's the most selfless person in the multiverse.
I don't want violence. No, I'm not a racist, but...
Exactly, Arthur. I'm worried, Bob, says Suman. When the networks take so long to call the obvious, all it does is encourage these jackasses and their god emperor. Disgustus is getting free time to plan his next move. I'm curious about what the community thinks. I'll ask him here in a minute. But before we get there, Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills in California had himself a crying jag, I'm afraid, because he's worrying about his God Emperor. Yeah.
We praise you tonight. We humble ourselves tonight, Lord God. We ask you in Jesus' name, Father, that you'd forgive us as a people. Almighty God. Please, God, you are pro-life. And one man is, and one man is not. Would you be pro-life for us, Jesus? Lord, one man is for Israel, one is not. You are for Israel. Lord, one man is for our military and our police, and the other is not. You are.
You know, the funny thing about one man is for abortion and one man is pro-life and one is not. The one that he says is not pro-life has never paid for an abortion, but the one man who is pro-life has probably paid for a goddamn dozen.
What will we decide? What message will we send you? Jesus, forgive us as a people. We have slept when we should have been awake. We've played when we should have been praying.
Hey, bub, what are you doing playing that piano? You're supposed to be praying.
We have faltered between two opinions. And we have sown to the wind. And we're asking for your forgiveness.
Now, this guy is probably, I think it's safe to say it's performance art. But the marks out in the audience, they're taking it all as, gospel. And really, they're, God, I think they did this. They did this back when Obama was elected, too, I think, but not to this degree. No, but see, here's the thing. I'm beginning to think with some of these Lulus, we might want to take away their belt and shoelaces and keep them away from warm baths. Or not, as the case may be. God almighty. And he's down on his knees. And he's bawling. He told God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost to go and imagine this, visit Donald Trump in his dreams. And that he collapsed in his arms and said, Mike Pompeo is one of the most precious people that I know. Interesting goddess of irony kind of use of the word precious. Is he Lindsey Graham precious? Yeah. Oh, God. Matt in San Francisco says, someone adjust the Jesus Freaks medication. Thorazine dart right in the neck, Matt. Oh. Why was I crying? I'm all happy now. Yeah. The pastor's crying because he supports Biden? No. The pastor's crying. Arthur, I don't got to explain this, do I? Kyle says, yeah, the guy who's allowed 230,000 plus to die on his watch is really pro-life. Holy shit, these people are insane. Nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake, Kyle. Kyle adds, speaking of maggots crying, I've been thoroughly enjoying the various stages of grief and multiple emotional meltdowns that the maggots in my family have gone through since yesterday after swearing to God and everyone in the universe that they would accept the election results if Trump lost and not cry like the liberals. Yeah, oops. The best part is... Is when this goober Jack Hibbs says, "That's it, they're done." Well, okay, that may be the best. I'm not sure. The best part may also be the precious Mike Pence part, because that's pretty good. But, we'll get into all kinds of stuff on the front porch. Let's check in and see what's going on. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Didn't hear any of your audio that you played.
No, you couldn't. I had to do it on the fly, and I played it on the channel you're on, so nobody could hear it in the Skype group. Because I didn't want to take the time to jump over and put it through on the other unit, and the audio comes in real low anyway.
Oh. Well, I didn't want to go back and start up the regular feed on the website.
No, it's just Clay Higgins is insane, saying, you know, the Donald Trump won this election, you know. This is a guy who should be in prison instead of in Congress. So,
Steve Kornacki finally gave up.
He finally went. Did they make him go to bed?
I think so. He was up all night.
All kidding aside, it's not good for a human being to go without sleep for much more than 24 hours. There was a very famous case of a disc jockey who, as some sort of promotional stunt, stayed up for days on end, and afterward he descended into deep mental illness. It became like psychotic or something. I remember hearing about this years ago. It's important to get some sleep again. No matter how badly you want to stay up. So
Tuesday night, the back porch went closed at 2 o'clock in the morning.
2 years or two?
My time.
Yeah. So five o'clock Eastern. Ouch. So. How you feeling about all this?
I'm just waiting for it to be called. It's a done deal in my book.
It looks like one. It certainly does.
I don't agree.
Was that Steve?
Why don't you agree?
Because they went to the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania to stop the vote, and I remembered.
You mean to stop? I mean, we got to be careful about our language. Stop the count. Yeah.
And I remembered when Thomas wrote that opinion, and it was 4-4, and I'm looking for Amy Shitbag to join that and have him stop the count.
But if they stop the count right now, they stop the count with him behind.
Well, the next issue that would be a TRO, and then what they would litigate is whether or not they should throw out all those ballots. The only solace I take is that apparently from looking at what the folks are doing in Pennsylvania is they're actually the ballots that would have been subject to that order had the court granted the TRO originally. They're segregating those out and they're counting them, but they're not including them in the count. I think that's the case. Listen, can we just admit something? That every time we thought something was a sure thing or really going to happen in the last 4 years, we end up going, are you fucking kidding me? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, he does have Jeebus on his side, so.
Oh, it didn't work. That didn't work out too well for the preacher the other day who said that fornication causes COVID. Because yeah, at 75, he died of COVID, and he had Jeebus on his side.
Well, he had the wrong Jeebus. He probably didn't have the white right wing Jeebus on his side.
That's he was a white right wing preacher, Steve. Went on Jim Baker and everything.
Okay. Well,
I think that's a little ambiguous. According to the New York Times, they say they're processed and counted separately and for now not added into the current totals, but the current totals show Biden ahead. So it's a bit ambiguous to me. I mean, I'm not sure what's intended there.
What do you mean ambiguous?
Well, because the current totals show Biden ahead, and this says that they're not being added into the current totals. So are the current totals not including them or not? I mean, the most literal translation of what the New York Times reported is the current totals we see do not include any of those ballots. And the current totals, as Bob said, showed Biden ahead.
No, that's what I was saying. That's my only solace. I'm just not sure if that's actually the case.
Yeah, okay. Well, that,
I mean, what would be really nice is if they just called Arizona and
Georgia.
Nevada.
Okay.
And then he can just tell Trump to go pound sand. But look, I mean, yeah, I guess, the fact of the matter is I don't think the worst I mean, even once he's declared, and let's just for sake of argument assume that Trump's going to be Biden's going to be declared the winner. Jesus H. Christ, Katie, bar the door, because Trump will not. He will never concede. He will not leave unless he's dragged out of that White House. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it.
I'll be happy to do the dragging.
I don't know if you saw that actually the Biden campaign came out and said, well, you know, we have very good mechanism to make people leave if they don't want to. And I'm just, you know, I have to admit, I thought things were a little calmer than I thought they'd be. But I think it could get majorly ugly.
Well, I'm worried about the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't see them as being a fair body.
I think, Steve, I think it's taken a little while for the right wingers to realize that their emperor God is going to lose.
But they don't care.
So now
once he gives the word that take to the streets, they'll take to the streets all right with guns. I mean, you've seen what they've been doing.
They did already in Arizona, you know, chanting, stop the steal, stop the steal. I thought they were talking about Mookie Betts.
World Series.
Well, he did home. In Philadelphia, as you know.
Yeah.
Two people, but they were armed.
Larry Kudlow says there will be a peaceful transfer of power once Joe Biden is declared the winner of the White House.
Yeah, Larry Kudlow's drunk.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a little cynical.
Trump?
Well, I had a comment from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, and she said, I love how the Trumpers think a counting center is run like the prompt. Okay, why am I echoing? Okay.
A counting center is what?
I love how the Trumpers
secret?
Hello? I love how the Trumpers think a counting center is run like the prom vote in Kerry, and that PJ Souls can just waltz in with a stack of phony votes and sneak them into the count. Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, Tabor on one of those, I guess he's CNN, pointed out this morning that Trump bragged about how many Republicans were reelected or how many seats turned to Republicans in the House. And then he said, but there's this grand conspiracy, I guess, just against him. So that the ballots, the phony ballots, must have had Republicans marked except him? I mean, it's so implausible. It's disgusting, but you all know that.
Well, this is the little ray of fucking sunshine moment. How implausible was it that a whole bunch of elderly Jewish people in Florida...
implausible, but I think they...
Hello? Wait, please. How implausible was it that a bunch of elderly Jewish people in Florida walked into the voting booth in 2000 and said, "You know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to vote
for Pat Buchanan."
Yeah, I know. I have a friend who said she fears she did that. Unbelievable. But there you have it. I am not following the Senate race. Could you explain to me what the four open positions are? I take it once in Georgia that involves a Democrat who could win in a runoff. That's the only
two.
One I'm...
Two.
Two are in Georgia. Two.
Ossoff. So Ossoff and Perdue and Warnock and Loeffler.
Okay, well, who are the two Democrats?
Warnock is a Democrat and Ossoff is a Democrat.
Okay.
The control of the Senate's in the hands of the state of Georgia.
But they haven't declared Thom Tillis yet, have they?
They're both under 50%. Oh. Is the same rules in North Carolina as in Georgia?
Don't know.
in Georgia, under 50% recount automatically kicks in.
So who are the Democrats? Who's the Democrat in North Carolina?
Cunningham.
Cal.
I don't know the recount rules in North Carolina.
Folks, can at least one person talk at a time?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be a jerk.
No, but Steve's right.
Who is the person in North Carolina? I'm sorry, the name?
Cunningham.
It's Cal.
And who's the fourth one, then? Just so I know look on the contribution page. Cunningham, and who's the fourth one? You got two in Georgia, one in North Carolina.
I don't think there's a fourth one. I think
Arizona got called.
Alaska hasn't been called.
Thank you.
Wait, who's running? They haven't seen anything on Alaska.
Fine. I'm sorry. Who's the Democrat in Alaska? Do you know?
Al Gross is the guy's name. I think 56% of the vote was counted so far.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
They're sending in a bunch of the votes in Alaska by sled dog, and they're having a hard time because, of course, climate change has eliminated all the snow.
I lived there for a few years, and I think there are a lot of remote Inuit villages, you know, in the middle of nowhere that they probably have to get the votes from. I mean, I know you're joking, Bob, but I think it's a big problem up there.
I mean, you know, we all know that Inuits are always in favor of Democrats, right, Lou?
They do. But we'll see what happens. Unfortunately, you know, I thought it used to be Alaska was a state where, you know, the free thinkers used to go. And then all of a sudden, when oil was found, a lot of Texans moved up there, oil country. And that changed everything.
Yeah, the Greed Hawk Gun Humpers moved in, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Well, you kind of have to have a gun up in Alaska. Shoot.
And what the Biden campaign says, Darlene reminds me, the Biden campaign said something along the lines of, the government is capable of ejecting trespassers from the White House.
Amen.
Darlene said, perfect.
Yep, I saw that. I heard that.
I would think that, too. But I'll help. I'll be happy to help.
Hey, if y'all have a minute, so I've analyzed the North Carolina race, which it's the weirdest fucking thing because they basically stopped counting on Tuesday night with Trump ahead by like 76,700 votes, with 95% of the vote counted. And the margin in the Senate race is only slightly worse for Cal Cunningham. He's like 86,644 behind. So he underperformed Biden as far as the vote deficit goes by only about 19,900 votes. And so that once they start counting the mail-in ballots, they're giving, under their election rule, they won't start counting any mail-in ballots until November 12th, which is the deadline for timely postmark ballots. So they have to be postmarked by election day. They can be received as late as November 12th, and they're going to count them. And based on the blue shift we've seen starting Tuesday night, continuing through today in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, I have a lot of hope that seat is still in play. And so we may not have to tie our hopes for making Chinless Mitch a minority leader on winning two Georgia special election seats. And the way I see the Georgia special election, I mean, Steve, from Georgia State, you correct me if you disagree. I think the stronger the two Democratic candidates, not to say that any of them is weak, is Raphael Warnock, Reverend Warnock. He's got an especially feckless opponent, I think, and Kelly Loeffler, a grifting, feckless opponent. Ossoff is very good as well, and he also faces the criminal, David Perdue, in a runoff. But I think it would almost be too much to hope to win two runoff elections, unless the Democrats, you know, totally show up and you make this a national referendum.
Yeah.
Basically, look, you know, say, look, we elected Joe Biden. Are we going to let government be gridlocked again by the Senate?
Amen.
You know, by allowing McConnell to decide to allow reform to die? Or are we going to vote for change like you voted, you know, Biden to change the country? You know,
well, Rick, so, this is the way Rick. I mean, I'm sorry I interrupted you. But
no, go, Steve.
Let me interject this for just a minute. With that orange on the ballot,
yeah,
it's going to take a lot of the wind out of the sails of all these fucking maggots, and a lot of them may not show.
Amen.
And there's another angle that well said, Steve. There's another angle too, and that is, look at Alabama back in 2017 when the entire when all the electoral energy of the nation was focused on Alabama. That's how you got Doug Jones.
But they also had a terrible candidate in the Republican Party.
Yeah, they did. But it allowed that national focus allowed money to pour into the Jones campaign.
Means I certainly hope.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to contribute my 2 cents, and it's not going to be much more. But I was just, I mean, what confused me a little bit is because the New York Times has 48-48, and I didn't know if the Democrats 48 included Bernie.
So yes, and Angus King, the two independents.
Is that right? King is an independent?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. It includes the independents, exactly.
Because they caucus with the Democrats. Okay. Now, I'm going to add one more wrinkle in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a 50-50 Senate, in order for Kamala Harris to be able to tell Senator Ritz from Kentucky stand to sit down and shut up, one more thing has to happen. And if you've been listening to this program for a long time, you know what I'm about to say. The entire hypothetical is dependent upon Joe Manchin behaving like a Democrat.
True. I don't know Joe Manchin, but I think I know what you're getting at. I'll look him up, too.
I think,
Well, I think he'd like to have, and remember, this is another one of those things that happened a while back that has import now. When the new Congress came in 2018, you know, everybody gets new committee assignments. And Patty Murray of Washington, no, who's the other senator from Washington? Anybody? Bueller.
Come on, I can look it up.
Washington's two senators are Patty Murray and... I can't believe nobody's got
it. Man, woman.
Maria Cantwell?
Yeah, Maria Cantwell. Maria Cantwell. Thank you. Maria Cantwell had been the chair of the Senate Natural Resources Committee. And she was moving on. Or she had been the ranking minority member of the Senate Natural Resources Committee. She was moving on, and that meant that a couple of different people could have had the chairmanship of Senate or the ranking member position of Senate Natural Resources. One of them, I want to say, was maybe Debbie Stabenow of Michigan. I could be wrong. But the other was most decidedly Bernie Sanders. And both of those said... No, thank you. Don't want it. Out of here. And moved on to other assignments. That left Joe Manchin as the ranking minority member of the Senate Natural Resources Committee.
And he's from New York State.
He's from West Virginia. And he never met a hydrocarbon that he didn't love, and he's still not real sure about climate change. And so if we achieve a majority in the Senate, then if he votes like a Democrat, then he will get the chairmanship of Senate Natural Resources. And I would assume that would be enough to motivate him to vote with the Democrats, unless the Republicans came up with a really, really, really sweet offer to convince him to cross the aisle. Because here in West Virginia, we've been waiting for Joe Manchin to do that forever. But so far, credit where credit's due. He hasn't, because he can do more good for the Republican Party as a Democrat than he could as a Republican. So that's just a little, you know, food for thought. Jude wrote in to tell me it was Maria Cantwell. Thank you very much. And by the way, we are at the halfway point of the program. We have $250 worth of matching challenges on the table. To help us finish out the week to the good, not to the good, but even. $250 worth of matching challenges. If that's met, that'll leave us only $100 to finish the week. And I'm not kidding. It's needed because there are, let's see, five. There's something north of $1,000 worth of bills coming the next month, or not, or next week rather, and like Monday next week, not Friday. So we don't have a whole week of fundraising to go. So we need to finish this week if humanly possible. And it's only the first week of November, and gosh, to be in a hole on more and Monday, the second, you know, the eighth day or the ninth day. Yeah, the ninth day of November does not bode well. So we've got $250 worth of generous matching challenges if the money comes in. That's Joey's viability challenge and Yuki's end of election week challenge. So thank you to both Yuki and Joey, and thank you very kindly to those of you if we can jump in. And by the way, no, I'm wrong. There's $240 to go because Jeremy jumped in early in the program. I need to check PayPal and make sure that I'm just not getting slow responses via email. Nope.
Isn't the idea to buy off Manchin? Doesn't the rest of the government relocate or start a new agency in West Virginia that hires a lot of people?
I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean.
Oh, okay. You want them to vote with the Democrats, and isn't one way to increase the likelihood of that is to offer him, the new National Health Center in West Virginia?
That would be a possibility, but I think he'd also just like to chair natural resources so he can try to funnel some sweet welfare money to the coal and gas industry.
Well, I was about to ask you, Bob, how susceptible is...
I thought Joe was going to answer.
Hold on, Rick. Megan was talking. Hold on.
How susceptible is he to peer pressure now that the Democrats are in charge?
Well, they're damn sure not in charge in West Virginia. I mean, the Republicans gained a supermajority in the House of Delegates here. A supermajority. That has never happened here.
Oh, boy.
At least not in living memory.
That's in your state Senate or House?
That's in our state legislature. Supermajority in the House of Delegates.
Oh, my God.
And he's not up for re-election. He's not up for re-election until 2024. So there's no political pressure whatsoever on him.
What is a supermajority in West Virginia in the House of Delegates? What percent?
It's the same percentage it is anywhere.
60%, two-thirds? I mean, it depends. It used to be two-thirds in the Senate. Now it's only 60%.
Well, they've got enough power that the Democrats can't stop anything. We're steamrolled.
Okay, gotcha. No filibuster or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, we've got some squirrely rules here. For instance, a gubernatorial veto does not require a two-thirds majority. The governor can veto a bill, and a simple majority will override it.
That's right. You mentioned that one time. I remember that.
It's just that it's brutal in terms of what they'll be able to do, what the Republicans will be able to do, because they have a mandate. And probably several of them have had several mandates. You know, nobody's looking, but, you know.
Hey, Bob.
Republicans. Yeah.
Real quick, I'm looking at...
Oh, okay. Thank you. Go, Steve.
Yeah. I'm looking at the... I did some rough numbers on the Alaska. Right now, there's 47% reporting. It's 108 to 488. 108, 488 to 54, 755 with a difference of 53, 733. I estimate that there's going to be a total of 347,326 votes total. That means there's yet to be counted 184,083 in order to make up that the 53,733 vote deficit. The Democrat would have to basically get what the Republican right now has 66%. In order to make that up, the Democrat would have to get 65% of that remaining 184,000, which is not going to happen.
So nothing to see.
Alaska's off the table.
Yeah. So we're back.
You never know. It depends. Off the it's table the votes.
For the Senate? I'm sorry, for the Senate or for the
Senate?
Senate's off, rats. Okay. Thank you.
Senate. This is 2020, folks, so the unexpected is most likely to happen. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it could happen. I mean, you know, Biden's getting like 70% of the mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania on average.
It's in Pennsylvania.
I know. Well, you're
not going to find any very few Democrats in
Pennsylvania.
Alaska swings back and forth. They had Mark Begich not that long ago as a senator. He was Democratic. He won.
Yeah, but he was an anomaly.
He was a one-termer, but he won. Never know.
Well, I do have some good. I do have some good news. I do have some good news. We've had folks jump in. We're down to. Let's see. Took it down to 250, 240, 230. We got $130 to go on the challenges. So we've met Joey's challenge, and now we're working on Yuki's. That's awesome. Thank you to Gary, and thank you very kindly to Greg. Thank you very much to James in Illinois. Thanks all most kindly. Thank you to Earther. Thank you, and thank you to our pal Texas T, who took us down to 110. So we're making progress. So that's huge. Thank you very much.
Update in Arizona.
Yeah.
Unless we've seen this, Biden's lead has grown to little over 39,000 votes. 39,070.
Yeah, it's growing, not shrinking.
Correct. And in Georgia, it's actually grown from, I think it was around 1,200 to 4,176.
Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, I saw that too.
There's still going to be a runoff.
I did a little number on Pennsylvania. And Biden is leading by 16,922 votes with 98% reporting. But my calculation has that there's still approximately 135,000 ballots to count because they're only at 98% of 13, 14 million votes cast. But I'm not sure my calculator's working right.
I don't have enough resources, but I believe I posted the link to the PA Supreme Court decision that might be of issue. I posted it in the chat room. I know there are several lawyers in this discussion room. You guys may want to look at it. I think it's...
Aren't you one too, Lou?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so so you're one of the several lawyers.
I didn't take that.
I just didn't... I thought you might be sandbagging there, so I was just making sure.
No. It's 53 pages. I don't know if it'll be of interest to you guys. Pardon me?
Lawyers never sound bad. Come on, Bob.
Oh.
How dare you suggest that?
For what it's worth, it's 63 pages. You may want to look at it.
That's the September 17th decision that said...
I've got the 8th. I think it said 8th. Let me go look at the
I'm looking at the link now. It says decided September 17th, 2020.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, submitted the 8th. Okay. Yeah. Is that the one? I think that's the one.
Well, that's the one that the Supreme Court tied 4-4 on.
But then it was reappealed, remember? And it's up.
They went right to the Supreme. No, they just went to the Supreme Court. It was not appealing that decision. It was seeking an injunction from the court aside from that.
Okay. Because I thought when it was 4-4, then that essentially meant it was not precedential. But they could go through the entire process again, and whatever it is, I believe this is up for the Supreme Court to decide.
Well, no, procedurally and billable and Kevin and Darlene in Connecticut and Steve, you can check me on this. It was a procedural appeal saying we want this decided right now. And right. and the Supreme Court by 4-4 said, nah, we're not going to mess with it. So now it's back again saying, no, really, we got six votes on the Supreme Court. Come on, decide it in a hurry. And that's the one where they again said, uh-uh. So it is still under consideration. You see what I'm saying?
My understanding is, this opinion will be reconsidered with the full Supreme Court. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe, as you say, maybe Nevada will go for Biden and Arizona will go for Biden, and it'll be as easy.
And there's a hopeful wrinkle here. Because one of the Stephen, I know you're aware of this. One of the things that the Supreme Court abides by, or at least used to, is we will not engage in acts of futility, or otherwise known as the mootness doctrine. There's nothing here to decide. Well, if
no impact.
If Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada all stand, there's nothing to decide. He still loses.
It's a matter of law, so in the future, they have Pennsylvania.
No, there's no case or controversy. It would be an advisory opinion. They don't do that.
No, because there is. They're saying, do these votes count? How do you interpret Act 77 or
but
whatever?
But it doesn't matter. You can.
It will for the future.
No, but now, Lou, that constitutes an advisory opinion.
No, I don't think so. I think it's.
What's the remedy? What's the remedy?
Is then you say Pennsylvania voted for Trump.
And it's still moot because he still loses.
Yeah. No, because that means Pennsylvania voted for Trump, and that's an outcome. That's absolutely.
But wait, what do you mean Pennsylvania? They just declare Pennsylvania voted for Trump?
Well, they say you can't count the votes that were actually received more than, because I believe this. Arguably, the statute says you can't count the ballots received after November 3rd, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
No, that's not what it said. What it says read the opinion.
Well, it's right here. They said it's ambiguous. And then they said
it says 3 days, and they extend it to 6 days, and there's a 3-step test
in order
to do it.
Okay.
And
so then that'll be the issue.
No, they're already segregating that those ballots are not part of the current count. So if the current count does not change and yields a victory for Biden,
come on. I mean the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said you count those. The issue is
they're segregated. They're not. That they're going to count them.
Already segregating those ballots.
Everybody
getting the ballots.
Okay, this has to go.
That's all important.
Hold on, this has to go one at a time, or it goes nowhere at all. So, Steve.
3,200 ballots, I understand.
Or billable Rick.
Not enough to matter. 3,200 ballots.
It won't impact the election, but it will impact the outcome in Pennsylvania.
No, it won't
impact.
Well, no,
exactly.
3,200 votes will not affect it. Won't be a big enough margin. Biden's going to take about 100,000, most likely. There's only 3,200 ballots that fall into that category.
Except there's one.
Lou, you got to let you. We got to do this one at a time, or it's just madness.
All righty.
Billable, finish.
Yeah. As I was saying, I heard from news reporting. I think it was Pete Williams said that he learned from Pennsylvania election officials that there were only 3,200 ballots that arrived in the mail after Election Day that would fall within this Supreme Court rule of the 3 days rule. As long as it's received by Friday, you know, we'll count the ballots. So 3,200 is not going to be a big enough number to matter in Pennsylvania. Most likely, people are predicting, at least Governor Casey's predicting, or Senator Casey now is predicting that the margin for Biden is going to be around 100,000. But, you know, it's going to be at least in the tens of thousands, ultimately, once all the other votes get counted. So these other votes aren't going to matter.
They won't matter at the federal level, you're right.
It won't matter at the federal level, but there's about 29,000 votes in Allegheny County that had a printing error that may or may not get counted. But again, that may not be enough to matter either.
And again, I have to come back to the same principle. If it is mooted out, it won't, I mean,
it won't matter at the federal level.
It's not that it won't matter at the federal level. It is that the principles of federalism say that state issues are state issues.
Yes, and that's a big problem for them.
And so while it might matter in Pennsylvania, that's for Pennsylvania to sort out, according.
And I think that's what they'll say. I don't think they'll say it's moot. I think they'll say exactly what you just said.
But it is moot. It is moot. If it doesn't change the outcome, it's moot. Okay, I mean, just by example.
No.
Yes. No. Hold on. I mean, don't just gainsay me.
Okay.
By example, the year 2000, everything was about Florida, okay? But crummy little West Virginia, with our crummy little 5 votes, if we had done what we did in 96 and 92 and 88 and 84 and 80 and 76 and even 1972, I think, and voted for the Democrat, Florida would not have mattered. And the court hearing that there would have been no Florida challenge to mount if West Virginia, or Tennessee for that matter, had gone for Gore. Asking the Supreme Court to intervene in a case that does not affect the outcome, the Supreme Court is not going to do.
Yeah, but I don't think on the bounds. Oh well, each his own.
At all, there's no reason. And on top of it all, after the way the court got him, because you know when one justice fucks up, the whole court is embarrassed.
Here you go. Here's the definition of mootness. But I'll wait. Go ahead. It involves a public interest or constitutional questions and is likely to be repeated and otherwise evade review or resolution. So you have that right there, likely to be repeated. It'll probably be repeated in 4 years, I guess. That's the problem. It's a question of law now. It'll be a question of law in 4 years, and that's it. I'm sorry, but okay, we'll see.
But the question of law is a question of law as established by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, not by the federal government.
That's what Pennsylvania is certainly going to argue, but that's not what the Republicans are going to argue.
But
the lawyering
is so bad. Okay, yeah. The lawyering is so bad, Lou, on the maggot side, if they're going to argue, I mean, the ballot counting is going on right now, and they're arguing that we need to stop the counting while Trump's behind.
Say again? I'm not following you, but it's okay. Again, but, I disagree.
What kind of law will matter
in Pennsylvania for every single election henceforth, every single federal election, because that's what the statute is.
Only in Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry?
Only in Pennsylvania.
This statute, yes. Yes.
Yes. Because there's no national rule, and that's the same problem that the court ran up against in 2000 with Bush v. Gore. That's why they stamped in red ink all over it, never use this as precedent.
Well, I know they did, yeah, but I don't think teach his own. But I have my own suspicions why they did that.
Because they were embarrassed.
It was outcome generated, but. Whatever.
It was Machiavellian Supreme
Court. That's the opinion. Should it be decided, you know, we may want to follow it and read it, as you say.
But what I was suggesting earlier is that there are some practical considerations in here as well. Like I said, when the Supreme Court, when one justice embarrasses himself, he embarrasses the Supreme Court. And that is what Brett Kavanaugh did in Wisconsin. It is almost unheard of for the court to go back and correct an erroneous opinion, but they did that in the case of the Wisconsin case, and they're not going to want that level of embarrassment again.
Couldn't speak for them. What can I say?
Roberts as CJ has a considerable amount of influence.
Yeah, I'm not saying what the outcome will be. I would think you should respect the state's opinion unless it's clearly unconstitutional at a federal level. I don't see how this can possibly be unconstitutional at the federal level. But, you know, I don't sit on that court. And,
well, I think you're worrying about them
coming up with a Florida opinion.
Yeah. You're worrying about that. You're worrying about them being the political body that we know they are. No matter how much they complain that they are not.
Yep. I don't think it's. I don't know. I don't think it's an unreasonable worry, knowing we have these people where they are. But you know, anyway, this is not what your show's about. But I'm sharing that opinion.
I think this is precisely what the program is about.
Well, these kinds
of discussions. We can disagree without being disagreeable. We can have meaningful conversations that are toward some sort of an understanding without and you know, we are not, God knows, you know, it goes all the way back to what Will Rogers said in the 1930s. I'm not a member of an organized political party. I'm a Democrat.
You know, the sad thing is Pennsylvania Supreme Court, I've actually practiced before them and they get pretty political, too. So I'm really pleased with this decision. So just I'm passing that along to you. But as you know, we're going to be talking the U.S. Supreme Court before too long. But as everyone's pointing out, it could be other states that actually carry the day. So, you know, thanks be to God for that. So I've done enough arguing for today.
Yeah, no worries. Listen, I got a note from Jude a little bit ago that is thought provoking and bears a listen. She said, for Bob and the community, subject line, election night peace stand. As we spoke on the eve of this historic election last Monday, I had no comprehension of the vastness that would unfold the next night, election night 2020. Driving to the annex where the main ballot drop was located, I was caught in a maze of uncompromised beauty, viewing the hundreds of cars waiting to enter the inner sanctum of one's right to cast a vote. As I turned right from Center Street onto Pine, as far as I could see was a steady stream of cars and headlights. It was sobering and stunning at the same time. Community. Slowly the stream moved a few feet at a time, definitely a snail's pace. Finally, reaching the intersection, I was able to park my car and began the walk up three hills with the boots over my shoulder. The street to my right was aglow with bright lights from the many who patiently waited on a windy and rainy night to be counted. Reaching the crest of Pine Street Hill, the boots were placed. It was a convergence of two directions of traffic, each relinquishing to the other their place in line patiently, a blending of intention for relief of the stranglehold that Trump sought. Then the boots called out for a more inclusive location, which I followed. Two more uphill blocks. While traveling on foot, I was supported with a second endless line of headlights like sturdy protectors in some unique manner. Just before the driveway into the annex entrance, the boots were placed. Umbrella opened as the rain seemed heavier, as to be seeking a cleansing, a rebirth, so to speak. I could not contain my overwhelming sense that what was being experienced here was also a visualization of what fellow Americans were consciously active in also. It was stunning, my dear community. It was as if we stood at the northwest corner of Washington State, looking out across the vast nation, all collectively focused and intentionally aligned. It honestly was almost too much to hold. Returning to my internal stillness, I closed my eyes, aware the entire time that there was not one horn that honked or a raised, troubled voice during the two-hour stand. The street leading to the drop-off ballot box this year had at least seven huge floodlights facing the traffic, plus two check-in stations, all prior to the drop-off box. Never, ever before had I viewed these additions. Police cars blended in and out. Then I experienced two interesting occurrences that presented. There was a voice of an older man responding to someone with a quiet-voiced question. "Oh, I'm okay. This police officer let me use his phone. There really are good police." His tone almost jubilant with expression. The second, as endearing, at least to me, was in the midst of only hearing car engines off in the distance, the methodical rhythm of rap music draws closer, that clear, defining rawness enclosed in lyrics and tonal frequency blaring. F-U-C-K Trump! Again, soaring, piercing, swirling, and enfolding is heard in that definite, honed-in intention. Fuck Trump! All to that quintessential rhythm, and there in the quietness of being, eyes closed, Hearing this explosion of rapper's truth, my eyes burst open, and I cannot contain the relief. I burst out laughing with such power I wondered if I had blown off my face mask. Not only once has this played, yet at the end of our stand, another experience of hearing the music in raw honesty. Fuck Trump. It's kind of cleansing to say that, really. Picking up the boots, I turn to take my returning steps back down those many blocks in the rain as we bear witness to it all. This time to face the endless line of the now facing me headlights, all too numerous to count, not that I'd even want to. I am suspended in a realm of a conscious, breathing, awakened America here in my city. I stop while descending this hill, placing the boots in all those headlights' direction, humbled, directed, present, expanded, open to it all. As I unlock my car door, I breathe out the essence just experienced, returning it to the ether from which it came. Community, while sitting in my car, I find myself standing at Arlington Cemetery back in 2012 with the boots, facing the moment of the changing of the guard at the base of the magnificent unknown soldier. Were you able to travel with women standing? Ah, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. And I think if that was rearranged a little bit, that would be, well, it reads to me like poetry. And, well, y'all know I love poetry. Let's see. Cynthia says, well, hang my chads, Bob. I have a cheap bottle of Korbel champagne sitting in my fridge ready to pop, and I'm itching to drink it while dancing in the street. Okay, it's not some tasty vintage Dom Perignon or other pricey bubbly, but it works for me. I just want a chance to celebrate something for a change. How are other members of the community planning to celebrate here given the chance? Party! Gosh, I wish I were young again sometimes. Yeah, I know the feeling, Cynthia. I know the feeling. So,
may just running shrieking down the street, but I got too many Trump supporters in my neighborhood.
Yeah, it might not be safe, Megan.
I can't vote too much. I got my girlfriend's 25-year-old son is a Trump supporter, as is another fellow who lives there. So I'll just have to be quiet and respectful, you know,
and smirk a little bit once in a while.
Backyard, Rick. Come on.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll celebrate with the German Shepherds. I'll take them for a run or something. I don't know.
And you can whisper "fuck Trump" to them as you're. You know. And you know, it's a pity. It's a pity they're German. It's a pity they're German Shepherds and not Alaskan Huskies, because you know Alaskan Huskies can talk, and you could say "fuck Trump" to them, and they'd go "fuck Trump." And asking the eternal question, "What is wrong with us?" Lee in New York offers the following number. Voting for Donald Trump, the AP tally so far, 70,007,628. What is wrong with 70,007,628 human beings in this country?
Does everyone see this hand-raising feature in Skype? That might be helpful.
I'm not aware of it, but it would be helpful.
Yeah, they have
the icon.
Yeah, there's an icon right next in the upper right. When your Skype updates, you should see it. But I wanted to bring something up, Bob, if I may, real
quick. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Something that's been just eating my goat. It's that filthy morning habit of yours, and Morning Joe copping an attitude Wednesday fucking morning against all the Democratic Party because we need to get our shit together, because we need to get our messaging right. Fuck you, Joe. If you wouldn't have been on there giving this fucker billions of dollars worth of airtime, we'd have never wound up in this place. So don't deflect your guilt onto me,
you know? Got on my nerves.
Well, but I'll add to that the addition that I'm real not prone to taking the advice of Republicans on how Democrats need to go about doing their business.
But he's been harping on this all week, Bob, and bobblehead meat has been just bobbling her head right along with him. Oh, so fucking pissed off. I was ready to throw shit at the TV.
Can I just add an addendum to that? I was pissed off too, and I don't know who Casey Hunt is, but she's an idiot. She's a female Chuck Todd, and I had to turn off the change the channel to CNN because I had to listen to her go on and on the after Tuesday night. And she's like, oh, well, the Democrats thought there was going to be this big blue wave and a repudiation of Trump's policies, but there wasn't. So the Dems really need to look at themselves and see how their messaging is and what they did wrong. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
And see, that's
like, Republicans pulled a turd out of their ass and they stuck it behind a podium and called it president. But the Dems need to work on their messaging. Oh no!
And not just that, Megan. Like I said, there was a reporter who was doing a stand up in Pittsburgh, and she said, "Now, what the Trump campaign is seeking here in Pennsylvania is more transparency in the vote count." Bullshit. I mean,
can they get? Do they need to be doing it, counting the ballots naked behind glass walls? I mean, what? What do they want?
Well, no, seriously. what they want is to just open the doors and let Rudy Giuliani bring in 50,000 ballots stuffed in his pants and reach down in his crotch and pull them out and set them on the desk and say, count them.
Fuck that. Boss.
And man, you just ruined my late snack here.
That's my job. I just took out dinner in the Eastern Daylight or in the Central Standard Time Zone. And there's one more thing about that Casey Hunt statement that you mentioned. That is what has become the norm. And it's irritating as hell to someone who actually used to practice journalism. Straight up journalism says that you report the facts, the who, what, when, where, why, how, and how much. And you don't offer editorial commentary. But that's exactly what happened in what you described, Megan. She said, you know, the Democrats, blah, 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 you know, that's dodgy. Maybe some Democrat said that to her. But she reported the facts, but then she stopped being a reporter and started being an opinionator when she said, and that means the Democrats have to get their shit together. And none of these multimillionaires of the for-profit media get challenged for that anymore. And it makes me crazy. And I think, and thanks to Jude, Jude just jumped in. And so, hallelujah. We are down below $100 on Yuki's challenge. So let's see, where is that specifically? We're down to $85 on Yuki's challenge and $100 to go beyond that to finish the week for a full on horn Friday on the front porch, community made miracle. So thank you, Jude. Thank you very, very much. Ralph's just sent me a link. Trump plans to barricade himself in the Oval Office and refuse to come out if Biden wins. From Democratic Underground. Let me just look real quick.
Well, watching him being dragged, kicking, and screaming and crying from the White House will really just cap off the end of Biden's inauguration for me. How about anyone else?
Oh, yeah. And it's not just some snark report, and it's from Vanity Fair. Report, Trump has plans to barricade himself in the Oval Office. The president has told allies he'll never concede. Trump has signaled to allies that the Secret Service will have to drag him from the White House kicking and screaming. I mean, I'm going to click on this just to make sure that it's not like some parody piece. I mean,
thinking they won't do it. Oh my God, this guy's head is encased in concrete. It's not up his butt.
He thinks the Secret Service is loyal personally to him. Just like he thought that the Department of Justice was his personal lawyer.
He thinks everyone's loyal to him.
The Secret Service is increasing their security around Biden.
I would love to see Biden refuse him the use of Marine One and the courtesy flight on Air Force One to take him to his retirement home. Just tell him he's a fucking civilian.
What, Sing Sing?
Personally lend Secret Service to escort him personally to his retirement. Personally, preferably in a straight jacket.
Well, I have a question about the Senate.
Yeah, go ahead, Faith.
And what if we're down a senator? what if we could petition Bernie Sanders to change to Democratic?
Still wouldn't make a difference.
It wouldn't?
No.
He already caucuses with us.
Yeah, the independents caucus with the Democrats.
The
caucus
they're included in that total. Just like Angus.
Oh, so they count them anyway.
Yeah, right? They're counted in there.
I was like,
yeah, I know.
I think I solved the puzzle. But I didn't. Sorry.
Oh, and thanks to Dave number 11. This really should be on Moran Monday or Titanic Tuesday, or maybe even Thorn in the Side Thursday, but here we are. Heisman Trophy winner and phenom of the 1980s college football world, Herschel Walker. Instead of us fighting and going to court, y'all might want to get the duct tape out for this one. I mean, this is a real live no kidding duct tape warning. Hockey puck.
Not warning. A hockey puck.
No, it's hockey puck and duct tape. Instead of us fighting and going to court, why don't we have Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin vote again? We can have it done within a week and maintain our democracy. Our democracy. Jesus Christ, you can't fix stupid.
What the hell did I just listen to? He just wants us to vote again?
And Mary L. Trump, you know, his niece, has just said, it's time. Call it.
Thank you. Please. We're all going to talk
about this. Fuck.
Look at media and call it. Come on, have some cojones.
Yeah, I want to stop watching the damn news for 4 days straight.
I know. Seriously.
I want my weekend back.
Damn.
Everyone wants to wait and make false toilets.
Just stunning. Hey, Billable, yeah. you had your hand up, and I have to honor that. I mean, I want to honor that. I didn't know about this new function. Go, man.
I can't find it. I have to read.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you got your hand up.
Well, I was just testing the new function. I wanted y'all to see that I could actually figure it out on my smartphone. It's on the triple dots, you know, on the right hand side. You hit that.
The more? Okay. Raise your hand. Groovy. Now that we've got it, I'll use it and maybe it'll work better. We'll go through the stack.
Right.
I need to go off stack for just a minute. Jesus, I sound like a crunchy granola meeting. Looking for a consensus-based decision on where to go to fucking lunch. I'm going to go off stack because Kevin in Colorado Springs has been patiently waiting for a long time over on the stress line. Go, Kevin.
Hey, man.
What's happening? Kevin.
What's happening? Not the Mets.
Yeah, go, Kevin.
Oh, sorry about that. I was very pleased with Colorado's vote in this election. We had over an 80% turnout for the election period and basically turned all blue except for one little congressional district to the west of the springs and the mountains that, of course, is bright red. But other than that, we got rid of Cory Gardner. So,
yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And this is going to be one of the obscenities of the election cycle. Is Steve King still a representative of the 5th Congressional District of Iowa? Anybody know? Can the research department get after that? But that's a huge turnout in Colorado,
Bob,
Kevin.
He got primaried out.
Oh, did he get primaried out? Beautiful.
Yes.
Must have forgotten
When
that.
Was that?
Back when Iowa had their primary.
Wow, he got primaried out in like January.
He lost the primary, but his term doesn't expire until January.
Third
or fourth, whenever the old Congress. So he's still in there.
Yeah, I get. Okay, so he lost his primary. That's awesome. Who had a hand up? Because I was off. I went off stack for a minute.
I think it was me.
Yeah, Megan, it was you.
Okay. I just want to put in quickly. I mean, I've been thinking this past week, like, way too much. And the one thing that's irritating me that what pissed me off about part of what was on MSNBC is this idea that if Dems were perfect enough and logical enough and they laid out these perfect plans that they'd win over these people that are still voting for Republicans. And it just got me thinking. I'm like, I don't know what plan, what logical reasoning is going to be enough to overcome deep-seated prejudice, beliefs people just don't want to let go of. And this is what I'm seeing in the 68 million votes for Trump. They're stubbornly holding on to this belief that this man is something that he's not. And it goes the same for what they want, why they keep voting Republicans into office. Even though they're not giving them health care, they said they're going to do away with Social Security and God knows what else. And how many times do we try to convince these people that that's what they're doing? And they're living in depressed areas as a result of all these decisions. But we keep on with this idea, well, Dems need to lay out these plans to these people and they'll come around. I'm like, what plan is that? How do you come overcome somebody's prejudices like that? Like, honest question, I haven't got the faintest, foggiest idea. Because right now, like all these Trumpers, they're sincerely believing this election is rigged. It's a fraud. It's being stolen, even though people said there's no evidence for this. And then they're going on about how Biden has dementia and he wants the economy to fail and this, that, and the other thing. And he's a socialist, communist, whatever. I'm like, I don't know how to get through to people who.
Megan, the key to the answer to your question lies in the word that you use to describe how it is that these people reach their conclusions. They believe. They believe like they believe that God raped a teenage girl and she had his son. They believe like they believe that the world is flat. They believe like they believe that there are witches and demons. And I'm not talking about people who practice Wicca. I'm talking about, you know, brooms flying through the night, yada, yada, yada. You see what I'm saying? They believe. They are
They are
fact averse. Not to make myself the center of it all, but I live with this kind of intellectual disconnect every day of my life. You know what I'm saying? Because you see people in the grocery store, and, hey, how are you? You know, okay, no, you go first. And they seem perfectly normal and perfectly reasonable and perfectly rational. And then you see them get in a car and drive away with a bunch of Trump flags on them. And you realize that those perfectly rational, perfectly nice people support keeping children in cages and ripping them from their mother's arms.
Yes.
You realize that they support having their own health care taken away from them.
And their Social Security. And most of these people are older.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to those two men from Virginia that are QAnon supporters. So they really believe that this whole election is being rigged against the man who's fighting the deep state. I'm like, I don't even know how to even begin. Do we need a culty programmer as president?
That was the point that I made a couple of nights ago. Namely, you know, it's one thing to go and get your kid back from the Moonies and take them to a cabin in the mountains and deprogram them for 6 months. How do you do that to 70 million people?
That's the million-dollar question, Bob, because, it plucks my nerves when I say, well, the opposing party, if they'd only done this, that, and that, I'm like, all I'm seeing right now are people who are stubbornly hanging on to this belief that Trump stands for anything other than himself.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and the 29-cent answer is you can't. The only thing you can do is beat them. The only thing you can do is keep them in a state of powerlessness. And contrarywise, that's just going to make them crazier. But just as there are places that are blood red in this state, in this country now, once upon a time, they were places where you couldn't, where a Republican couldn't get elected into jail. Okay. this was a one-party state once upon a time, West Virginia was. And that state was Democratic. And as I said last night, when the generation that understood what it meant to let Republicans have power died, the Republicans swept in on a wave of Jesus and anti-abortion and pro-gun and gay people. I mean, it's an ugly reality, but it is a reality nonetheless. Billable Rick, go.
Yeah, I was just to kind of weigh in on this conversation here about how could over 70 million people be so hateful as to vote for Trump. Keep in mind, it's probably going to be 71 or 72 million once all the votes are counted. I've got an easy answer. They basically are, you know, they're ignorant people. A lot of them live in a, you know, demon haunted universe. So, you know, they're not interested in facts. Like my girlfriend's son is convinced that we're going to become socialists now that Biden is going to get elected. Yeah, it's total horseshit. And, you know, there's also this myth that the suburban housewives turned against Trump in this election. That's actually not entirely true. Trump actually got a higher percentage of white women this time around
than the last.
Than he did last time. A slightly lower percentage of white men, which actually explains why he lost the election. At least that's an article that was on the NBC website I read earlier today.
Yeah, I read that too.
Fascinating. Did you see that, Bob?
Well, yeah, we talked about that last night. That he got the more white women voted for him this time than the time before, and the proof there, or that I think that proves my point insofar as all you can do is energize your own base and beat them, and never stop beating them. And Randy and PA adds, and don't forget Rush. Man, his terminal cancer's taking a long time. Whenever I think about what has been done to the American body politic, whenever I think about what's been done to the American body politic by right-wing hate radio, I always think about Hamlet and how Hamlet was shown by the ghost how his father Hamlet was killed. By his Uncle Claudius. Uncle Claudius killed Daddy Hamlet by pouring poison into his ear as he slept. And that's exactly what has happened to 70 million plus Americans in this country. They were politically asleep. They were unschooled in civics, in history, in politics, and along comes the Rush Limbaughs and the rest of that scummy crowd and pours poison into their ears while they sleep. And that is exactly how we got where we are. And John Brinovo's just come in.
Damn it, hey, Bob!
Hey, John!
How the hell are you?
Uncle John!
How the hell are y'all doing?
I'm doing great.
Mr. John.
John, let's see. I'm at day 53.
I don't want to talk about it, Bob.
Did you fall off the wagon?
Fuck, I fell off hill. I hit my head and forgot where the fuck I was.
That's all right. That's all right. You proved yourself.
Start all over.
You proved to yourself that you can do it, so you can try again.
I was doing pretty good.
Hey, John.
Huh? I found an excuse. I found an excuse, you know. Things went south there for a little bit.
Get a pass, bro.
I lost my brother, and
I'm so sorry.
Appreciate that, but when fuck it, what's the point? You know, yes, give me a fucking cigarette, and there I go again.
So sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, we were expecting it. It was rough, but I don't want to bring that. No, it doesn't make it any easier, but I want to bring that in here. Anyway, what do you think, Bob? What do you think?
Well, I mean,
come on, call it, man.
It's going to be Biden. But as I was reminded by Randy and PA a moment ago, you can't really party because the recounts are in our future.
Well, let them recount their asses off.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Let them sit there and whine all they want. The result is going to be the same, yeah. I believe.
Jelly beans don't multiply.
Nope, they don't. You know, numbers are the numbers. You know, it might change one or two here, there.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to get... That's a cowbell for Steve from Georgia Stan. Jelly beans don't multiply.
Yeah, there you go.
They ain't sea monkeys.
They're not sea monkeys. They do not multiply. It's the same number of jelly beans there was before. So, yeah, I'm feeling damn well confident. I'm just waiting on my neighbors down the street to start taking down their Trump flags.
You know what? I you might be waiting a while on that.
I will. They're not going to give it up that easy, but I'm just driving down the street with a big smile on my face today. Oh, yes.
Okay. John, answer me this. How did Cornholio beat MJ Hager?
Oh, Lord.
Like a blip on the radar on the news.
Yeah. John Cornyn kept his seat. I don't think there's much hope, but they're still finding ballots down here in mail rooms and shit. So typical crap down here in Texas. We're not going to take the Senate in Texas.
Well, but what happened with the state legislature?
It looks like the Republicans retained the state house, too.
Son of a gun.
That's what really pissed me off. I really wanted our state house to turn blue so we could get some things done in this state.
Well, you know what, John? If there's optimism to be found in this, it is that as Texas changes and verges more toward leaning Democratic, they're going to have to find more. The Republicans are going to have to find more and more creatively skeevy ways to suppress the vote. And it's going to get harder and harder and harder it may not happen in our lifetimes.
I think it's going to get harder to suppress the vote because I think, you know, this has shown a lot of people just who the Republicans are. And that's the only way they can win is to suppress the vote. When American people have the opportunity to stand up and cast their vote, it's obvious what happens. We just need to keep this shit moving. Your voice isn't done yet, my friend. We have an election in 2 years.
We need to summon the ghost of Ann Richards and have her haunt the shit out of Greg Abbott. How about that?
Hey, Jeremy in Vermont had his hand up. Go, Jeremy.
Oh, shit. Now you can hear. Like, you can hear me now. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I was going to say, this did prove that when they let people vote easily, early, whatever, more people vote for both sides. Hopefully, going forward, this is carried out. I doubt it will be. But what I was going to say was, there's a conspiracy out there that most of the major networks are waiting to make Fox announce that Trump lost as the ultimate bitch slap.
There you go.
Fox gave it to Arizona, and they won't. Yeah, they won't back down either.
No, yeah, neither Fox nor AP is backing down. And I just got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. The biggest thing for John Britovo is, when does he plan to shave his signature beard?
Oh, baby, I'm glad you asked that question. As I stated when we started this shit road 4 years ago, it will be removed the day he leaves our house. So January 20th, baby, we will be doing it live. It's going to be shaved. Somebody already offered me $100 for my beard. I got to say, it's not worth it.
Take it. Got to keep the program on the air. Now, are you going to start, old sailor that you are? Are you going to start with 10 snips?
It's not going to be up to me. I'm going to be sitting in a freaking chair. We are really actually going to try to find a barber. If we can find a barber who can handle a razor, then yeah, we'll do it the old fashioned way. If not, I guess we'll do it here at home or something. But in either case, it's coming off. I have grown quite accustomed to it. I like it. I really don't want to shave it off. It's halfway to ZZ Top, man. Come on.
You know, I was going to add that you can be absolutely forgiven, and it's not and forgiven's not anybody's business. But if you want to keep that daggum thing, I mean, that's.
At four years,
it's iconic, John.
It has. I've never grown anything this long in my life.
Is it ankle long? Is that how long we're talking?
4 years since I shaved. I woke up the day after the election when Trump won and just didn't shave. And I turned on my camera and I yelled a bunch. And the next day I did, and I just got caught up with it. Every day I was turning on my cameras, and I just didn't think about shaving, didn't give a shit about shaving until it just started growing and growing. And then I made the comment, I ain't shaving until that asshole's gone.
Well, I couldn't copy you. So it was a while back that I said I won't get my hair cut till he's gone. And
you're getting a little long, Bob.
I don't think I want to get it cut.
You get used to it.
I'm kind of digging it.
You look in the mirror and you go, "Well, hell, I think I look better with you."
I coped with it through the 90 degree summer, and to cut this off in the dead of January, freezing my ass off. Oh hell no!
Shit, no. Yeah, my chin will freeze. Yeah, but I'm pretty much locked into it, I guess. I did my show this evening, and a lot of the comments were, "Well, John, when are you going to shave?" So I guess I'm kind of locked in.
Well, okay, so we got to come up with a new Britivo beard challenge. After you get this thing shaved off in January, you can start over again, and I will not shave my beard. John, you can say, "I won't shave my beard until..."
Bob.
No. Here it is. John Britivo will not shave his beard until we have 8 years of Democratic presidency.
There you go. That's a good one, Bob. And I think we will. When we start to turn this country around and get it back on the right track, I think it's going to impress a whole lot more people that are going to come over to the Democratic side.
Well, if we can...
Shown itself to be a piece of shit party.
Here's the thing to ponder. If we can get that little 50-50 miracle in the Senate and make Moscow Mitch sit down and shut up.
Yep.
Then the Democrats, if they're committed to doing what they need to do, they can show America how much better it can be. When people are actually acting in the best, when politicians are acting in the best interests of the American people.
There you go.
And so by 2022, if we can have a Senate that can break where Kamala Harris can break a 50-50 tie, and we can do something about health care so that people can go to the doctor when they're sick. Because even if the Affordable Care Act survives the Supreme Court and Justice Handmaid, but even if it does survive, it's still a teetering wreck.
It does. It needs to be improved upon. It needs to have
Medicaid. The Medicaid expansion needs to go up to 250% of the poverty line. And there's your public option. Bing.
There it is. And they keep crying, "Well, you're going to take away my private insurance." No, you can. If you have money for private insurance, I guarantee you, there's going to be a private insurance company going to sell you a big old policy.
Right, and you can keep your employer provided health insurance until the next pandemic comes along, and you lose your damn job and your insurance at the same time in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah. You can do that too.
Yeah, the amazing things that we can do.
Yeah,
if we just put ourselves, out there and make it happen. I'm excited. Because even if we don't have the Senate right now, what we don't have is a bellowing piece of shit in the White House that gives the Republicans cover. The Republicans are going to have to stand up and answer to the bullshit that they have denied this country for so long. And they're not going to have Donnie up there distracting us every day. I do think
the maggots will be, how to put this? He's not going away until they take him out of a room feet first, because nature has finally caught up with him. And that being the case, even out of office, he will continue to tweet and continue to inflame the maggots. The question is, will the for-profit media continue to report on what he says? Last night was a good sign when they pulled
the plug on him.
Yeah, screw him.
Yeah, get that shit off.
But he'll still be out there trying to inflame the maggots and saying, "You've got to vote for Clay Higgins in Louisiana."
Yeah, let's see how much weight.
And so they will still be afraid of him. But that can't go on forever. Let me interrupt just a minute. We have $85 to go to finish Yuki's challenge. We have $185 to go total to finish the week. If we want a community made Friday on the Front Porch miracle, it kind of needs to happen in the next 25 minutes.
please, y'all, this is, you know, I preach this every time I come on because I don't have the opportunity to do it on my own show. This is important. Bob doesn't stay on the air unless he gets the donations to keep it moving. I would not have been on the air for 4 years if it had not been for the Blue Dot family that stepped up, not only with donations, but with computers and equipment that I needed. And they are the ones I had so many people today, Bob, texting me and calling me and telling me thank you for the last 4 years. It's not me. It's you. It is not Bob. It's the Horn family that makes this work. It's not just Bob's voice. It's your involvement in this that keeps Bob's voice on the air. I can't stress it enough. It sounds like, I hate to have Bob come out there and ask you for that. But it has to be done because you have to stay on the air. And Bob's voice especially, and I stress this all the time, is needed because he's in a red rural area, the same as I am. These voices are important.
Wait, it's not because of my good looks? Everybody.
Yeah. Huh?
It's not because of my good looks?
That too. His handsome good looks and fine. Where else are you going to find such fine entertainment? I would have never known about Shiny Heine had I not been on this show.
I don't know. Did you come along after Alabama Sex Clams? That was 2017.
Alabama Sex Clams? I have no idea about that, Bob. There is future learning to be had here. So we cannot lose Bob's voice. So please, I implore you, be generous with your contribution.
Arnold in PA just got us down to $60.
Outstanding.
Roberto just got us down to $35. So
come on, baby. Let's
Miracle. Yeah. You have powers of persuasion I do not possess. Thank you, Roberto, and thank you, Arnold.
It's important. It is important, and I can't stress it enough. That is what keeps Bob on the air. It's what keeps me on the air. It's what pays the bills. And we hate to have to come out and ask for it. But it is imperative that we keep the voices in this country that come from down the street from you and from me. Because they are as important as the voices you hear in Washington, and rightly so.
I have huge and happy news. Sailor Chick just knocked down the last of Yuki's challenge. So now there's only $100 between us and a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle.
And we got plenty of time to do it in. And by the way, Sailor Chick came by and visited the Blue Dot family.
Isn't she awesome?
She is indeed. And I called her out and where I met her at. And I called you out tonight, Bob.
Really?
I thank you on my show. I thank everybody that uses their voice for this.
Well, that explains the burning ears.
It's not easy. You know, Bob, digging through this shit every day gives you a headache, gives you heartache. It pisses you off. You know, I got up this morning. I forgot to take my blood pressure pill because I was happy. Well, shit, by this evening, right before the show, man, my heart's just going thumpy, thumpy. And I'm wondering why. And it's, you know, you stay into this stuff and it eats you up. And so there's a price that Bob pays for this. And so, yeah, this is his job. So please, tips. Are welcome.
Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. Thank you, John. And so
Bob, thank you for your voice, because I'll tell you what, you had a whole lot in my ambitions and the way I handled my show. I learned a lot from coming on here.
Yeah. And, you learned what not to do, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Just don't say what that guy said.
Okay. So Jeremy in Vermont just took us down to 65 to go. We got a fighting chance here.
We can do a miracle. We can do a Friday miracle. If just as much as you can. And I know it's hard times for a lot of people. $1, $2. I get them all the time. $1 donation is just as important to me as $100 donation.
Absolutely.
Because you know it comes from the heart, baby.
Well, you know, I think Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life, said a little something about that, as a matter of fact.
I can't rattle my mouth like that. Your bars amaze me sometimes, my friend.
Oh, I didn't.
Let me add that the margins are so tight in Georgia that Uncle John, Bob, your voices could have made the difference. You don't know, man.
We don't know, but I like to think that our voices had some impact, that we moved somebody.
I'm sure it did.
I'm sure it did. But I think what it is that we stir in you. What you already have that passion inside of you, when you knew that things weren't going right, that this isn't the way America works, that this isn't the way our society is.
Exactly. And for people, and John, for people like you and me who are in blood red states, even if there can be some inspiration for people out in blue states to get one more voter out, those are votes yes. you're casting in blue states that yeah. directly impact to the good our red state lives, because sooner or later, Texas, West Virginia,
Georgia
have got to be told to shut the fuck up or learn. And look what's, you know, if Georgia holds, and I'm going to assume that it's gonna, and then if that next step is taken and we get two Democratic senators from Georgia,
boy, howdy shit.
The Confederate South is broken. I mean, yes. I was joking earlier in the program, John, about how nice it is to see Georgia re-enter the Union without us having to go down and burn Atlanta again.
No shit. I am proud of Georgia. Is that what they're saying now?
Georgia.
I am so proud. And not only them, I'm proud. You know, we didn't take every state. But I know that we have blue dots, and I know you have horned family members in red states that
Hell
did
yes.
not turn blue, but you fought your ass off. Be proud of that. I am so proud of my state. We pushed it closer this time than we did last time. We had more participation.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. That's the difference between you and me, yes. John. My state got worse.
Well,
we got worse. I hope that's not my fault.
We took up your slack for you, Bob.
Well, I appreciate it. Let me share a note. Let me share a note from Matt in San Francisco, because this is serious stuff, and it is worthy of an ongoing conversation. I know this is radical, Matt says, but why is it so important that we remain a union? It seems we've reached a point where we need to separate. Why should I and any other marginalized people have to figure out how to get along with people who don't even think I should exist? It's not a both sides we just disagree issue. There are people in my country who think I do not have a right to exist. How do I work with that in order to progress? As far as I'm concerned, it's time to split up, and those that want progress, want to progress, do so, and those that can't evolve can't sit and wallow in their, can go and sit and wallow in their beliefs. And I understand every word of what Matt just said.
I do too.
And
I do too.
What I would like to do, if it is all humanly possible, and time and mortality may answer these questions, and for the sake of the civilized states, I hope I'm right. It is not, this state is not going to be, or this country, this state too, this country is not going to be a right-wing proto-fascist state forever. Nations, just like every other institution and structure on planet Earth, evolve. And the evolution is happening.
We all have to remember that this fight that we're in now has taken us over 200 and something odd years to get here. This is a generational fight. We are not going to change this country or this world the way we want to see it in our lifetime, in your kids' lifetime. But every generation that steps up has to keep the fight going. There is no U-turns on this trip. We only have one destination, and that's an inclusive America. It's in our founding documents. We must make those documents come true. And it is not going to be an easy fight. And there will still be massive suffering yet to come for our society. But every generation keeps marching forward.
And sometimes we take steps backwards. I mean, we've been talking about that for two or three days here, John. And this applies, you know, this is Alabama, this is Tennessee, this is Kentucky, this is South Carolina. Basically, it's the Confederacy, but it's also places like Idaho, Wyoming, Montana.
Yes.
And
it's not restricted by geographical location, although it's somewhat concentrated down there. But
you can get
find it anywhere.
You can get retrograde motion when people forget where they damn well came from. I mean, West Virginia is and always has been a poor state, but you got people in this state now that think that because the rain's not coming through the roof, they're by God just one step away from being people that Donald Trump would like to sit down and have a slice of chocolate cake with.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like my dear friend Bruce used to say in Wisconsin. We'd go by a farm in Wisconsin. We were driving the back roads, and he'd see a sign for Scott Walker, and he'd say, "Now see there, Bob. There's some dumbass Wisconsin farmer that thinks he's got enough money that Republicans would even speak to him."
Yep.
And you know, I want to get the warm fuzzies about my country again. And if we can repudiate Trump, that's going to be pretty warm and pretty fuzzy. But it's also going to come with a hefty dose of reality, because they're not. We're going. Okay, more good news.
Yeah.
If all of this is true, at some point in time, we're not going to hear Rush Limbaugh saying, "My friends, Joe Biden is a commie, pinko, fascist, socialist, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, deep state tool." That's going to stop soon. And you know what? The Mark Levins and the Hannitys and the rest of them, they can't replace him. And as long as programs like this, and as long as programs like yours, John, and programs like Malloy's, and Rick Smith, and as long as Dr. Bill's still out there,
we all know
we got a fighting chance. Go, yeah, go, Rick. You've been waiting a long time. Sorry.
Hey. Anyway. That's cool. This has been kind of glitchy today, but you know, I was thinking with the Georgia special election race, we have a secret weapon in our community. I think if Joey and Giraffe go down to Georgia, because the devil is going down to Georgia and is trying to steal a bunch of votes, I think if Joey and Giraffe work their asses off, they'll be fine. You know, things will be fine.
Oh, you went a long way for that one. Shame on you. Procedural question, yes.
If we get a 50-50 Senate, is there going to still be a majority minority leaders, or
Oh hell yes!
Oh yes!
Yeah.
There will be a push on by the Republican Party to flip a couple of conservative Democratic senators like you can't imagine. But what'll happen is if the Democrats stay Democrats. And by the way, the Democrats will be pushing some Republicans to jump over to us. But if it stays 50-50, then they have a vote to see who the majority leader is. And if it ends up 50-50, Kamala Harris gets to say, "Hey, Senator Mosco Mitch, sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up."
That is going to be so much fun to watch.
We have so many adventures in front of us.
I think it's going to be 50-50. I think Warnock wins his election.
Well, here's the thing about it. Let me throw this out there to the Horn family, the Blue Dot family, and whoever the hell else is listening. We just went through a hell of a fight to take the White House. Now we have an opportunity now in January to hold the Senate, to take the Senate by one if we can. Or would it? I don't know. Anyway, my point is, wherever you live, take the opportunity to make a donation to John Ossoff and who's the other one? Shit.
Oh, the Raphael Warnock.
There you go. Thank you very much. Make a donation. Make a donation to their campaign, because it's not over. And as I encouraged my Blue Dot family during the election, especially if you are in a blue state, to donate to a red state. A candidate that was running to take a seat. And so we want to continue that in the Blue Dot family, that we want to encourage people to make those donations down to Georgia and give them the bank account they need to fight this, because they've got a month to do it, baby. And, we could do this, but it takes teamwork, just like this election did. And just the same way that y'all keep your donations to keep Bob alive, it's the same thing, baby. We can take a couple of bucks, send it to that candidate, and try to help them as much as we can, because it's a nationwide thing.
So if I took Meadows' political science college course in Texas, would that count, John?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, and I highly encourage you to do it. Anytime you can get anything out of that man, I'm telling you what, I am still impressed with him, and we have not seen the last of him. He will be back in the Texas political.
I have a huge crush on him. I want to see him again.
You and my wife.
Is that a professor right now? Is he teaching poli sci?
Yeah, it's at a college in Texas. I'm not sure which one, but he's teaching political science. He starts next semester.
Hey, guess who was my favorite poli sci professor at Northwestern when I was there in the early 80s? George Frickin' McGovern.
Oh, wow, cool.
I took a
I
took a course that he taught about American foreign policy after World War II. And it focused extensively on the Vietnam War and how fucking long it was and how the government lied to us. That was so beautiful. That actually is the number one thing that converted me from a conservative to a liberal, like in 1981 when I took that course. Can't believe it.
McGovern was an exceedingly decent man. I just got a really interesting little piece of food for thought from Lee in New York. Subject line, Georgia runoffs. Trump cares about himself, not others. Will he go golfing or will he hold rallies for senators who can do nothing for him in Georgia?
Good question.
Because the other side of that coin is that he lives for the adoration of the maggots.
Yep.
And many are the people who said, well, you know, he'll run again in 2024. And then I've seen other stories that say, well, Don Jr. is getting ready to run in 2024.
Oh, please.
But he lives for the warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow. And so I could see him going to, you know, I'm here. I just love, I mean, I said some shitty things about her, but I just love Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. I mean, when I eat chicken, I think of David Perdue. And so I'm just here to ask you to vote for him and remind you, I'd still be your president if they hadn't stolen all of those votes from me by having all of those black people vote.
Yeah. Yeah, what he said.
Tell me that. Tell me that is not within the realm of possibilities.
Oh, it is. It is. I'm hoping he's going to be a little bit tied up with legal issues myself.
You're beating the crap out of each other, whoever. Who's going to run for president next in the Trump junta?
Yeah.
Oh, but I like that, John. Maybe he will be a little bit tied up.
I think he'll be a little preoccupied with maybe some legal issues that might be coming up the pike here pretty soon. I really hope so. Yeah, well, if we have justice in this country, that we keep
playing, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. She's not playing.
Actually, his theme in 2024 is going to be Donald Trump for America Unchained.
Unchained. How about we just strap him on the front of a vehicle?
Unchained? What? Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
That's just not any good images in my brain.
No. It's, when you involve him.
Hurt me already.
I think we need to have some fun here because we've had 4 years of a fight, 4 years of anger. We know we have won this White House. I don't think any one of us out here listening has any doubt about it.
We've won it. We just have to get it.
We have to get it. We have
and
won it.
And I'm sorry. I maintain a certain amount of misgiving about the Supreme Court. They can't be trusted, but maybe on the other hand, they're happy. They're happy to just do the damage they know they can do, and not have him sitting there tweeting about it, because Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and Justice Handmaid all owe their worlds to him, and they want to be free of that obligation.
And this is their opportunity to, because he has no power over them. They are on their seat. They have got their seat in the Supreme Court. They're not going anywhere. Donald is. Donnie's going bye-bye. He is not going to be president. And as a matter of fact, he's going to be in the thorn in the side of an American in this country. And so does the Supreme Court want to tie themselves and be labeled as a political court? I'm hoping that they don't, and they will not take up I don't even see how they can take up this one coming out of Pennsylvania. Are you shitting me? How many times has it already been up there? Four?
Well, we kind of went round and round on that one at the beginning of the program, or at the beginning of the front porch. There's, again, a reminder, he remains, Donald Trump remains, an unindicted co-conspirator in felonies in the Southern District of New York that have already resulted in one individual being adjudicated guilty as charged.
Ooh, thank you for reminding me of that shit, Bob.
That's Michael Cohen, who would like nothing more than to put his hand in the air, swear to tell the truth, and sit there and bury Donald Trump.
Yep, I'm ready for it.
His book was pretty damning, Bob.
Yep.
Oh,
he has a podcast, too. Cohen actually started up his own podcast, his anti-Trump podcast.
Really? I haven't seen that yet.
Hey, I got huge thank yous. We're done. Thank you, Lou. Thank you just a second here. Thank you to Megan. Thank you, Megan, for jumping in. And thank you to thank you to Harold, President and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society.
Happy trails to you.
Who even got us started on Monday.
Outstanding. Do we have a miracle?
We have a miracle on a miracle and a miracle on a miracle with cowbell clusters.
There's the blue dot gong.
And the blue dot gong. Hot diggity damn.
Oh, baby. Thank y'all so much. That means a lot. That means a lot that y'all stepped up like that. That is just out freaking standing. I'm telling you.
Was that a gong or a cowbell?
That was a gong. Well, mine was a cowbell. John's is a gong.
Mine is a gong.
It's kind of the same principle as I couldn't swear to start growing a beard, and so I said I wouldn't get a haircut after all, and John couldn't use a cowbell, so he went and got a gong.
Yep. Well, actually, one of our Blue Dot family members, Diana Mallory, bequeather of the gong in Secret Squirrels, donated the gong, and ever since that, for a long time now, anytime anybody makes a donation, or joins our Patreon or just subscribes to our channel, we call them out and they get a gong. So, yeah, we put some dents in that thing too, because some people come in with some outstanding comments on a donation and you just want to beat that thing to death.
Wow.
It's our families, and I would love to see a horn blue dot hookup. I just really would, because we are the same people. We are the
man.
The
we get.
Club.
I tell you what, we get this. We get this goddamn pandemic behind us, and we'll find a spot halfway between you and me. And
I'm telling you, I got blue dots that want to do it. Just get together. You know, this is 4 years of talking on the radio and over the social media and stuff. We have indeed, both of us, built in a tremendous family. And, you know, to be able to get together and celebrate that would just be outstanding. I've had one Blue Dot family meeting hookup, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it. So,
well, you know, this was supposed to be the year of the horn in, and then we got a pandemic instead.
Yeah, shit. Well, we'll kick this ass, and we'll get it done. We'll eventually get back to normal. It might be another year from now, whenever we can do that. But I don't plan on going anywhere. You going anywhere, Bob?
I ain't going anywhere.
Ain't going nowhere. I got work to do, baby. We still have work to do. Like I said, it's a generational fight. The fight isn't over just because you win one battle. You got to keep marching that banner forward, every one of us. Every one of us listening here can't let this be the end of just your involvement in our society. We have to stay informed. You have to stay involved and take pride in that. And I try to stress to every blue dot, every Democrat, take that patriotic title back from the Republicans. Fuck them. It's a bumper sticker to them. We support the troops. God bless America. All that shit. It's a bumper sticker to them. We live it, baby. We live that. So be proud of that. And keep moving it forward. We have elections in this country every 2 years. If we stay involved and stay motivated to keep that direction going, just think of the possibilities. I ain't got my fucking George Jetson car yet.
I'm getting freaking
yeah,
old.
It's like
I would settle for high-speed rail.
Yeah, well, it's like our buddy Reverbo the Human Man says, he's still waiting for his helium-filled pants.
Yeah, there you go. There, we can make progress in so many areas, not only with helium-filled pants.
Luxury dirigibles.
But what we need to bring, and that is a unity of Americans who care about each other, regardless of what color you are, what sex you like, what sex you are, what God you pray to. Does it matter? Fuck no, it doesn't matter. The compassion that you show in your heart for your fellow Americans and for those around the world, whether or not you see them. Integrity, baby, it's what you do and say when nobody's fucking looking.
And I mentioned Reverbo because I had a note from him earlier.
Yeah.
And he said, the scary thing is that if the Republicans had a better candidate, they might have won. Like that Sassy from Nebraska, who may be groomed for 2024. Another big red college football reference from Nebraska.
There you go.
And you know, there's Tom Cotton out there just chomping at his own Adam's apple for an opportunity.
God, I can't. I don't want to look at him.
How about Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America? You think he hasn't given up his presidential ambitions?
Sir.
We got to get rid of that guy. We have to get rid of Ted.
It's the gallery of fucking roads like on Lindsey the GOP Graham. Side, I tell
like
you.
A tick that you can't get off.
on the darker side of things, as we wrap things up here, maybe a little less optimistic. Our buddy Glenn in San Diego says, I'm a little dismayed at hearing some on the porch seemingly insisting that our precious Democratic Party can do no wrong when it comes to messaging. Well, I think that's probably me and Megan and Steve and a few others getting pissed off at the blather skates on MSNBC, a bunch of Republicans telling Democrats how to do their business. And that's what it was about. You know, if Democrats took Republicans' advice, it'd just be a one-party country and we'd all be Republicans. Glenn says the party did a horrible job on this election campaign. The best we can say is we avoided the worst scenario. The proof is in the tasting of the pudding. We lost 10 seats in the House, one of them in New York City, for God's sakes. Where the rubber really meets the road, we didn't flip a single state legislature. Do you call that the result of great messaging? No, I call that the result of a lot of things, including voter suppression.
Thank you.
Indeed.
That was not what I was complaining about. I was complaining about this whining that Dems need to change their message to flip Republicans when Republicans literally took a turd out of their butt and called it a president.
Thank you.
Yeah.
After we fought our asses off. How dare they? An
institution that never needs to be criticized. No. No.
Now, I talked about some of this last night. I understand what Abigail Spanberger was getting at in Virginia. When she said, if we go into 2022 barking and hooting about socialism, we'll get, I think her phrase was, we'll get fucking killed.
Yep.
And if there's a lesson to be learned by the Democrats, it is to stop putting the bullets in the gun and handing the gun to the Republicans. Think about things before you go out
they
there.
They don't have a problem pulling the trigger. Yeah.
Because
stop pulling on everything that the Republicans aim at you, for Christ's sakes.
Because one thing was remarked upon on the Filthy Morning Habit today that was an echo of things I've been saying. In fact, it was an echo of something I'd said last night. And that is that when you say something in your safe district where you're going to be reelected until you're 100 years old, because no way would anybody in your district ever vote for a goddamn Republican. Well, the stuff you say there that you can say safely gets broadcast in the districts of people who don't live where you live and are trying to get elected as Democrats. And so the phrase used this morning was, you know, Tip O'Neill used to say all politics is local. Well, in the age of social media, all politics is national because, you know,
if not international,
if you've got a candidate who is trying to break through in a red state as a Democrat and you're sitting in your safe district, hooting and grunting about socialism. Well, the candidate trying to break through in the red state is going to have to answer for you. And that creates an immediate division, and that's a problem. And you're going and you wind up wearing a coat that you didn't even own in the first place. And I understand that, especially in light of the fact that I'm a hell of a lot further left than most of the people who claim to be left in Congress. But you can't make it harder than it has to be, because it is hard enough as it is. I mean, you know, we had Matt's note about the states that don't want to make progress. There is not a single red state that does not have diehard, hardworking, progressive, liberal people in it, and not in small numbers. Amen. John Bredevo, you live in a state that probably has more liberals and progressives in it.
And they're very liberal.
Than in all of Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You probably, there are probably more, with all due respect to our dear friends in smaller states, there are probably more liberals in Texas than every state in New England except Massachusetts combined. And maybe even including Massachusetts.
And they came out this time. Not everyone. Well, we don't have 100% yet, but we're working on it, baby.
I mean, I know diehard. I know.
Message now that we're looking at the presidency and the House. We still maintain a majority in the House. We're looking at maybe an even Senate and the presidency. We can refine the message now that we're there. We can't do that when you have the other side with a sledgehammer that's taken a freaking sledgehammer to our foundations of our country.
Exactly.
Take the hammer away.
Take the hammer away and understand that whatever it is, because this is the obverse to the coin that Abigail Spanberger was talking about, whatever it is we do for the good of the American people, the Republican messaging machine that is so much better than us at it is going to scream that it's communism, it's socialism. They've got nothing but red baiting. That's all they've got.
That's it.
And if we say we're going to, I mean, because this is just a little pet project of mine. If we say that on the Medicaid expansion, we're going to, the federal government's going to pay for it 100%, and we're going to raise it to 200% of the poverty level, that will be communism. That'll be socialism. And it'll probably turn, you know, by the time the religious wrong and the white wing broadcasters are done with it, they will probably have most of the mouth walkers and knuckle breathers convinced that it'll if everybody can go to the doctor when they're sick, it'll turn everybody in America into gay and Antifa Black Lives Matter protesters.
It spreads. You catch it when you go to the doctor's office, because, you know, you sit in a chair right there.
Right.
When somebody else. Yeah, that's the way it works.
And if it's a matter of trying to reunite little kidnapped babies with their parents. Well, that's only because they're gay, communist, Black Lives Matter, Antifa babies. They're a one trick pony, but they message it so hard and so consistently. And they have an outlet for it. They've got multiple outlets for it. And that makes it harder for us, because we don't have any outlets at all except for the John Bredevos, the Horn,
the Bob Pinkates,
the Rick Smiths of the world, Mike Malloy, and a few others. And as long as, because I've seen this up front, and I'm guilty of it sometimes. A little bit of snarky, snotty elitism. But I have seen, oh God, we are so bad about it. You know, people who don't sound like people who live where they live saying,
you know, I don't understand why you people vote against your own interests. Why can't you understand that we're so much smarter than you? If you'll just do what we tell you, your life will be so much better.
And the answer in a place like West Virginia is, well, if my life being better means I'm going to be like you, I want to be like me. Fuck off. And, I mean, we had living proof of that here in West Virginia. There was a candidate who had massive support from outside the state, progressive support, liberal support, all the right issues, and she got pasted like wallpaper.
You know, it's one thing that this is probably the only thing I have credited Jared Kushner with. He made a comment to Bob Woodward, and it was that that the Trump supporters, and basically the GOP, the not the upper echelon, but the masses out there, they don't give a fuck about the issues. It's the attitude. That's what Kushner said. It's not about issues for them. It's about attitude, and he's right. He's right. They're not. They don't. Half of these people, they don't give a fuck about the issues. If you try to discuss health care with them, they just quote Fox News to you. It's that's what I mean when I say things like we have to take our patriotism back. I am a proud veteran. I am a proud Democrat. I am a proud American, and I stand that way. I talk that way. I will not allow Republicans to run around with their flag and their Bible claiming to be something they're not. And I call them out for that shit.
Yeah.
And,
Cucky Jerry Falwell is a classic example, John.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to have moral, family, Christian values. Yeah. And the only thing is, if you'd have seen him 2 days before, he never could have said that because he had a ball gag in his mouth and was strapped to a chair while his wife was doing the pool boy.
Getting banged, yeah, telling you, man. We're
moral, Christian, family values.
Yeah, family values, yeah. Do it deeper. Yeah, I'm telling you. It is. I'm an atheist. For those that don't know, I don't believe your story. Never will. Snake didn't talk. It's just ridiculous. Jesus
no
Christ.
Chatty copperheads in my world.
Now, I don't believe not a word of it.
No floating now, corpses.
Do you have a
that.
Right to believe that story? Yes, you do. I will defend your right to believe that story. I think it's stupid, and we will not evolve into the correct society we need to be until we get rid of that shit. But that's just my opinion. I'm just trying to get you to realize that if you're going to claim to be a Christian, then act like a Christian. Give a shit about those that you don't know. Don't bitch about somebody who might not have the food for their children that they might have to have substance for. Are you shitting me? That's not a Christian thing to do. And until y'all stop doing that shit, as I've said for the last 4 years, if you tell me you're supporting Donald Trump and you tell me you're a Christian, only one of those statements are true. You get to pick which one it is, you know, because you can't be both. If you cannot be a Republican the way this Republican Party has evolved into.
Well, what's the book? What's the book say? Their book says a person cannot serve two masters.
There you go. Pick one.
You can't be a follower of Christ and a follower of Donald Trump. It is not possible.
No, to talk yourself into it all day long, but the rest of us just think you're a babbling idiot.
And those of us who have been Christians or were raised that way and know enough about the theology and whatnot, if you're showing up to listen to Kenneth Copeland preach, brother, sister, sibling, you're not a Christian.
Mm-mm.
If you're following Paula White, you're not a Christian.
Shit. What have you seen the shit going on about her?
Yeah, ran it last night.
I just loved it.
Oh my God!
And I had it. And by the way, I'm going to wrap things up. A note from Shorty in L.A. I challenge you all. I challenge every one of you on the front porch and within the sound of Bob's voice reading this, to know that we have 75 days to stick it to Donald Trump.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I'm ready to do some.
Next thing
I'm
you need to know.
To do some sticking.
Yeah. Next thing you need to know, since Trump is so impatient that they're slow walking the ballots in an electoral count purposefully just to get his gizzards. and also to get him to confess to more things, and black folks stay in the house. Did you notice how, with everything that was going on, there were no black people outside, and all we saw on the news was that drunk guy in the beer T-shirt and everywhere else, and there were white folks out there or Trump people out there and throwing doo-doo. If I understand Shorty in L.A. correctly,
black folks stay home. Philly this morning that were saying that the count every vote crowd, they were out there doing the Macarena or something out there in the streets right across from the maggot crowd. I thought that was pretty cool.
And then yesterday in Pennsylvania at Harrisburg, the little karaoke meetup. Remember them? First date with an AK. First date with an AK. Yeah, you know, dudes, hire a DJ. Jesus. Hire a DJ. Jesus.
Are you shitting me?
You have a minute, Bob. I'll be real quick.
Go.
Ready?
Yeah.
Pete Williams, 4 minutes ago, wrote a title, Supreme Court Justice Alito weighs in on Pennsylvania mail-in ballot case. He, in part, granted a request from Pennsylvania's state Republicans who wanted an order about the mail ballots that came in during the extended deadline. He ordered county officials to comply with the previous directive issued by the Secretary of State to keep mail ballots separate that arrived after Election Day but before 5 p.m. today. But he did not order the state to stop counting them. So there you go. That's fine. That's what's going to happen. They're going to let the votes be counted. And as long as it's done regularly, I don't see that Trump has a prayer.
I don't think. Do they have standing, Rick, to even take a case?
Party. So
how do they know?
Probably do. They have standing. It's
a little. That's what I.
It's simple. They've been doing all. It's not like a victory for the Republicans. It's just basically okay. Yeah, we agree with what the Secretary of State's done. County election officials, be sure to obey the Secretary of State.
But they could then rule in a few months or whatever weeks as to it. But you're right.
Well, hold on. In order to make this the fuck up that Trump wants it to be, they've got to rule before the electors are certified.
Yeah, December 10th, is that somewhere around there?
Yep.
When is it? September. Okay. I mean, December 10th.
Yeah, I mean, but they still could turn things over.
But 270 in other states, that's not going to matter.
Right. And you know, there's an old military rule. Let's see, what is it? Never get into a land war in Asia.
Yeah.
And never gamble with a Sicilian when the stakes are death. No. There's an old military rule that you never divide your forces and you don't fight a true front war. Somehow Hitler never got the memo.
He screwed up.
But the fact of the matter is, he's going to have to file all these suits in all these states, and he's going to have to win every goddamn one of them.
What do you think the odds are? Up?
He's doing, Bob. I don't think that's what he's doing.
I'd buy me a lottery ticket if I was him.
So he can bribe electors to hand the election to him. I think that's what he's trying to do.
I don't think it'll work.
I don't think it will.
The court is really going to have to be careful with how they rule on these issues.
If he's declared the winner by the national, and people agree with that, or there's enough people in America that believe that's what happened, there's no way that they can do different.
Tearing this country apart. It would be slapping half this country in their face.
And I go back. I go back to something that Dave number 11 said to start the program. It may seem like a little thing. It largely went unnoticed. But the United States military has cleared the airspace over the home of Joseph Robinette Biden.
That's right, baby.
You only do that because the president of the United States or the incoming president of the United States is a no-fly zone.
Well, I guess they kind of said that, didn't they?
Suck it up, retards.
Military, Bob.
What's that, Rick?
How about for the U.S. military for clearing the airspace around Wilmington?
There we go. Absolutely. So, again, thanks to all of you, and thank you to Yuki, and thank you to Joey and Giraffery. Thanks to all of you who jumped in on it. Special thanks to Harold, the president and CEO of Sochtris, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trail Roundup Society, for getting us started on Monday. Thank you so very much. And, thanks to the group for a great conversation this evening. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of our subscribers via PayPal and Patreon. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. And thanks to those of you who do one or two or all three. And thanks to all of you who participate in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky and at the chair of honor around the extraordinary, ordinary round table in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. It ain't much, but it's ours. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at HeadOn.live, the best place to listen to the Malloy program when it airs live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Remember, the back porch will continue after this program closes, so you're free to wander on by. Use the magic button over at HeadOn.live, and it'll carry you right into the chat group. It is so bad in El Paso now that the United States military has sent in medical units because El Paso is on fire. John, you still there? Can you say anything about it? Can you address that? Can you?
It is bad, and it's going to get worse, I fear. That's why we need the leadership that we just.
We cannot turn the corner until we turn away from Donald Trump.
There you go, baby. And that's what we have to do. Just remember, all of you, wear your mask, wash your hands, stay the fuck away from nasty-ass people, and take care of each other, because this ain't over for a long time yet. And that's all. That's the best you can do. And try to put a smile on somebody's face, because today you got something to smile about.
It's baby. A day. It's a day for smiling. And hopefully by the time you go live or I go live on Monday, we'll be talking about President-elect Joseph Robinette Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris.
There you go. I love it, baby.
Amen. And so, just like John suggested, maintain your social distance, carry your hand sanitizer with you, and like Paul from Parts Unknown says, not just 6 feet, but 10, 15. Stay as far away from people as you possibly can. And, If somebody comes toward you saying, "I'm the Cajun John Wayne, put your affairs in order," avoid that one like the plague, because he is. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend. More and Monday. We'll be here before we know it.